Marin at 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Okay, here we go. It's the Wednesday edition of Morning Sedition. How's that grab you? Wednesday Morning Sedition edition. There you go.
Very good.
That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
My buddy and co-host. We're here. We're hanging out. It's early, but we're not complaining. You know why?
Absolutely not.
Because I've just spent 2 hours complaining. Not even about that. Not even about that. I was on Tough Crowd last night. Some of you watched it. I'm sorry I didn't tell you that I was going to be on. But
Didn't you?
Maybe I did.
You did that in the Laugh Factory this weekend. Don't forget that either.
The Laugh Factory this weekend, laughfactory.com, the New York Laugh Factory. Come down to Times Square, and let's reminisce about how it used to be when the Laugh Factory was show world, and I was too young to really know, but we're going to draw on the ghosts of it. You know,
I had friends.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. You knew a guy.
I knew a guy who used to go in the show world every now and then.
I'm looking forward to it because I believe that certain structures, buildings, locations, pieces of real estate have ghosts, are haunted, you know, are possessed, have something, you know, don't you? I mean, I'm not necessarily a mystical person. I think I am mystical. I may not be spiritual. I'm a little spiritual. I'm not saying I believe, but, you know, hey, there might be ghosts, right? I think so.
Well, you know, in the old days, they used to call that stretch along, for those of you who've never been to New York, we're talking about a stretch of about 5 blocks. Along one street, 8th Avenue, between 42nd and 40th. Used to call it the Minnesota Strip.
The Minnesota Strip?
The Minnesota Strip, because all these girls would come from all the Midwest, all over the country, and they'd all come to Port Authority bus terminal, and some nefarious pimp in a pastel-colored suit would meet them as they got off the bus looking all lost.
That would
and
be like
two days later, they'd be out on the Strip.
You ever been in a spaceship, baby?
You've been there, haven't you?
This thing can fly.
Hey, by the way, I want to say good morning to a lady that sent us something on the Morning Sedition website. And I couldn't, for some reason, I kept trying to answer her. And I never did. But, you know, the other day you mentioned something about me being involved in drum corps.
Yeah.
So this lady was all, her name is Kathy Dozier. She was involved in drum corps also.
Oh, wow.
And she asked me where I marched, and I was trying to email her back an answer, and I couldn't get the email to work. Even Brendan, our ace technical producer guy, couldn't get the email to go.
Couldn't pop that thing open?
Yeah.
Well, thank
associate
you for,
producer, that's right. Sorry.
I get stuff in the mail all the time. Some woman sent me a thing of catnip. You know, for our new cat, and let's talk about Tough Crowd last night. I was on Tough Crowd, and sometimes I walk away from that show feeling good. Like, you know, that was fun. We had some good times. Last night felt a little sketchy.
Really?
You know, yeah, because I got into an argument with this other cat, with Wayne Fetterman. He's another comic who was on the show. Who for some reason, he stuck in my craw, man. I don't even know what it was. Colin's got us all standing up now. We can't sit down. It's a new idea. Everyone stands up. And I'm a pretty intense guy. You know what I mean? And it's better off if I'm sitting because it'll take the edge off. Because right now, you see I'm standing.
Yeah.
You know how some people write in. It's like, what's with Marin? Tell him to ease up. You know, when I'm standing, I'm in it.
Yeah.
So, like, sometimes on a talk show, it's better if I'm sitting, but now I'm standing. And Fetterman says something to me about Schwarzenegger. You know, and I don't know what it was, but I lashed out at him, and then eventually it became a Jew-on-Jew violence almost.
Really?
Yeah, it was brutal. You know, it's like I called him a Jew.
But wait a minute, Schwarzenegger's German. How did you all get into a Jewish thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No, that was, the Jewish thing was later. Here's what happened.
Okay.
Like they were talking about Schwarzenegger's girly man comment, and, you know, I had a couple of comments. The first comment I said was that, look, after, you know, years of bodybuilding and steroid abuse, I'm sure that, you know, Arnold's got weird, distended, flappy girl boobs and probably has testicles the size of almonds, so let's not mistake who the real girly man is, you know. You know, that was my joke. And then, like, you know, I also said that as far as the comment goes, it's like, it's not, whether it was homophobic or racist or whatever they're accusing it of being, how about hacky and stupid? I mean, he stole the line from Saturday Night Live. So Fetterman said something about that the SNL bit was based on
Schwarzenegger.
He should have some license to it, and that's probably true. All right, and then I said something. Well, you know, this is just part of, like, the new Republican sort of policy. Is what you have is, you have, you know, millionaire bullies, you know, versus the Democratic process.
Mm.
And he was like, you know, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I'm talking about him, you know, calling out the, you know, the California legislature by calling them names and sort of bullying them in this way to do what they want, do what he wants. He's like, I don't see how that is. It's like, well, I said, well, why don't you read the whole article? And then some guy in Texas or somewhere emails me saying, like, you know, that was a cheap shot. How is that a cheap shot? Is it a cheap shot? Am I mistaking something?
It's an inexpensive shot.
All right. So, but was it?
No, it wasn't a cheap shot. Why would that be a cheap shot?
Maybe it was true. But so then, and then later in the show, just because, you know, he was calling me out on in a way, there was a tone to this guy, and I've known this guy a long time, mm-hmm. and I don't know him well. You know, but it started to eat at me, and it got really, there was a moment there was actually really contentious. I lashed out at him. I felt a little bad about it, but then turned into this weird thing where I called him a Jew, and I said that, you know, you've probably been an old Jew since you were 10, because he's got that look, you know. And then Keith Robinson, a black dude, steps in and goes, oh, take it easy. I'm like, look at that, the blacks and the Jews together for the first time in years to come against another Jew. Look at how this is working out.
You know what you should do?
What?
Bring him here.
Bring Fetterman here?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll bring him here. I'll tell you who I want to bring here is this guy. See, this is my problem, is that with the Jewish thing, and we had a problem yesterday, like we talked to Anonymous about this and that. And, of course, some guy, you know, writes this declaration, like, you know, that's it, I'm done with this show. You let that guy talk bad about Israel. Don't you realize that, you know, the United, it was just complete conspiratorial. You know, we're going to put together a show to address both sides
of the Israeli question. Yes.
But then I get this letter after this. So, Mark, I'm watching you on Tough Crowd, actually doing a serviceable job of defending the progressive viewpoint on a show that often inspires me to holler out loud at the TV. Damn impressive. Which only makes it more disturbing for me to hear that you get all twitchy and bleep every time you yourself bring up the subject of Judaism. Damn disturbing. Allow me to explain. I am a rabbinical student and honest to Moshe progressive. I've worked with union activists, blah, 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 blah. Which is all to say that for me, progressive activism and Judaism go hand in hand. And this is where I can help you out, Mark. I can give you a judgment-free sounding board for all the profound ambivalence and discomfort that you seem hell-bent on publicly experiencing around your Jewish identity.
Hellbent? Are you hellbent?
No, dude. I'm just like ambivalent. That's all right. You know what I mean? You know, I'm a Jew, but I'm not Jewy. You know, it's like, you know, I know that Israel is, you know, is somewhat, you know, say it, man.
Go ahead.
They kill Palestinians, you know, and also there's also the State of Israel issue. You know, how do I support the State of Israel if, you know, if I'm connected to it by my birthright as a Jew? And how do I accept their policies in dealing with people who are indigenous to the region?
But the Palestinians kill the Israelis. Watch this now. I'm going to take the Israeli position. You take the Palestinian position.
I know there's deep strife and conflict, and maybe I don't know how to talk about it, but the ambivalence is only because of my lack of spiritual commitment to the Jewish religion per se, and my lack of, you know, inherent commitment, you know, in terms of like my personal connection to Israel and to the, you know, the conflict there. There's a party line within the Jewish religion that, you know, without, you gotta
support the State of Israel. But look, when it comes to not being able to talk about the problems in Israel. In fact, is nobody can talk about the problems. That's why it's not been solved all these years.
But the weird thing is that the problems in... Oh, this guy goes on to say, in short, I would like to be, for you, what Jesse Jackson was to Bill Clinton.
what was that?
Yeah, exactly. Your own personal spiritual guide that you can nonetheless keep at a safe distance.
Hmm.
Look, you know, I hope he's not playing on some other weird identity issue he sees. He's like, I think Marin, you know, he's been away from his wife this too long. You know, he's like some sort of rabbinical predator. But I don't
know. Or psychoanalyst. Jeez, how would he know?
Because I talk about it, but I don't think he listens to the show. I think he
just watched you on Touch Crowd.
You're saying is true. But the weird thing is, it's hard to talk about. You know, even Randy Rhodes doesn't, you know, address it full on, which and none of us really do. Yet it is at the core of what is being called, this world war that we're in.
Yeah.
You know, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is at the core of this new evasive and fragmented enemy.
Well, yeah, and
one of the pillars of their ideology.
And remember too that, you know, in the neoconservative construct, a lot of what America has been doing in the Middle East, in places, by the way, far away from Israel, have to do with Israel, and certainly many people in the region feel that these actions have to do with Israel. You go to Iran or some of these other countries, and they will tell you, even Lebanon, they'll tell you, ask average citizens, and they will tell you that all of this Iraqi conflict is about Israel. And people stand there scratching their heads. What are they talking about? It's nothing to do with
it. But it can't all be about Israel, obviously. And then hopefully, you know, we'll get the theme show organized for after the convention. But right now, politics are being played out. Sandy Berger, Clinton's ex-secretary of the...
No, National Security
National
Advisor.
Security Advisor.
He had Condoleezza Rice's job before.
Yeah, he's being set up by the Republicans, you know, and public, you know, and politicized so they can avoid acknowledging that, you know, the vice president is a criminal. And we're going to talk about that when we come back in just a minute on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
More and more people who are HIV positive are controlling the virus with medications and are living well. A new research study seeks to determine if certain drugs, still experimental, will improve HIV patients' immune systems enough to allow them to stop taking medication. I'm Dr. Kendall Smith, Chief of Immunology at the New York Weill Cornell Medical Center. Our 6-month research study tests low-dose daily interleukin-2 and an HIV vaccine with a treatment interruption. People who are taking HIV medications have undetectable HIV in the blood and have at least 400 T cells are eligible to take part. If you or someone you know may be eligible, I urge you to call about enrolling in the research study. 1-800-822-2694 or log on to our website, HIVHCVtrials.net. The toll-free number is 1-800-822-2694 and the website is HIVHCVtrials.net.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yow!
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
We're back. Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't mean to scare you there, Mark.
We're back? For real?
Morning's edition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley there. No, I think when I said I'm back, your earphones are something. Bam!
Yeah, he's back. Two off, right?
So why don't you, let's set up this.
Let's talk about Sandy Berger.
He's being accused of, they're trying to make him look like he did something wrong, where clearly it was an oversight. I mean, this is not the kind of guy that's going to, you know, steal things.
One word describes this. One word describes this.
Yeah.
It's a word on the street, though.
Yeah.
Shiesty. You ever heard the word shiesty?
Is that the same as smokescreen?
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
His critics are shiesty. Sandy Berger's critics. What we have here, very simply, is an attempt on the part of the Republican Party to blunt the impact of two things. The September 11th Commission report, which comes out tomorrow, which is not going to look good for Bush and his ilk, and the upcoming Democratic National Convention, which starts next week.
Right.
Which the Republicans know all of the political spotlight will be on the Democrats, will be on Kerry, the Clintons, all these other Democrats.
It's our party.
Yeah, and they want to make sure that somebody pours water on it.
Right. So they're using Sandy Berger, who was doing research for his testimony for the 9/11 Commission at the National Archive. Yes. And he's looking at some classified intelligence documents.
Some of which he wrote, by the way. Okay. I mean, it's not like he was looking at other materials and other, but some of this stuff was stuff that he had written.
Yeah, but maybe it got lost in his hard drive or something. He just couldn't find it.
Yeah.
So he had to go to the National Archive to find the stuff that he wrote.
Yep.
But this was stuff, most of the documents that, it wasn't even a lot of documents. It was a couple pages referring to a failed terrorist plot.
The Millennium Bomb plot.
Yeah, the Millennium Bomb plot on Los Angeles, right?
1999.
Now, theoretically, Bill Clinton has stepped up and said, look, Sandy, you know, is a very talented guy. He's a smart guy. He's on point. He knows what he's talking about. But he's got a problem. He's got the same problem I have. I like to write things on little pieces of paper and stick them in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's too many papers. Look at right here in our radio studio. We're surrounded by papers. And, like, if this was all classified, guaranteed I'd walk out with at least one of these things. And I'd get home and I'd go, uh-oh. And this, you know, so Sandy Berger, what he does, he gets in a situation, he gets home and he says, uh-oh, and now you got people like, you know, the very morally corrupt, you know, Tom DeLay accusing him of, like, DeLay says, that is not sloppy. I think it is gravely, gravely serious what he did, if he did it, and it could be a national security crisis. This guy,
police!
For this guy to take the, you know, the moral, you know, upper hand on anybody.
That's beyond, let me tell you something. That's not just trying to take a moral upper hand. What DeLay is trying to do here is create a crisis. Can you imagine saying that somebody taking a couple of documents, some of which, again, that they wrote, and putting them in their pocket by mistake is a national security? What in the world? What color is the sky in your world?
Exactly. And they're trying to make it, you know, they're trying to make it seem like because he was doing some work on the Kerry campaign as an advisor, you know, they're trying to imply that Sandy Berger took documents referring to a failed Millennium plot, which, you know, is not pertinent to, you know, to anything that could be, you know, inform the Kerry campaign of anything.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So they're trying to accuse him as, like, you know, maybe he took these things, you know, to aid the Kerry campaign. It's like, well, look at the documents he took. And this is a former national security advisor. You think that, you know, he's going to, like, sacrifice, you know, his reputation to, you know, to what, to sneak a couple of pages of intelligence information out of the National Archive on purpose? For what reason?
Well, I mean, did he leak it to somebody? Is somebody using information? No one has said that anyone has used a word of any document that Sandy Berger took for any purpose whatsoever, not just for political purpose, for any purpose. They haven't used it to, you know, line the birdcage, for God's sake.
And to be honest with you, it didn't even seem like it was that type of information. Like it was, it, you know, a lot of classified information is a lot of, it's just a lot of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just classified because it has to be classified. You know what I mean? It's there's a statute of limitations, I guess, on this stuff.
Well, what we see here is a typical political ploy. Start something over here so people don't pay attention to what's going on over here. Now, what's going on over here, aside from Tom DeLay, who is himself being investigated.
I'd like to talk, let's lay into DeLay a little bit, the weird little, you know, fanatic robot that he is. He's got an ethics complaint filed by U.S. Representative Chris Bell against him that alleges he has solicited campaign contributions in return for legislative favors, laundered illegal campaign contributions to a Texas Political Action Committee, and improperly involved a federal agency in a Texas partisan manner. You know, this guy, you know, this is the guy that cut up Texas, so the Republicans.
He gerrymandered Texas. Let's call it what it is. Gerrymandered the state of Texas to diminish Democratic Party power in the state, to solidify Republican control. And remember that Texas is a state with a relatively weak governor, who's now our president. So, you know, on that level, DeLay was doing things that would make sure that Republicans would control, for example, the process by which judges are appointed in the state.
Right.
You know, the Texas Board of Parole, which has, of course, the highest rate of denying any kind of clemency in terms of death row inmates.
Yes.
So in many instances, what he did was make sure that that Texas death machine just kept going and going and going. That was part of his agenda.
And he was shameless about it. I mean, he ordered the Homeland Security Department to help Texas Rangers chase down Democratic state legislators legislators in order to win the restricting vote that we're talking about. Even though everyone knew the officials were in Oklahoma, DeLay had officers swarm the homes of Democrats' families and in one case barge in on a neonatal intensive care unit where a legislator's wife was caring for her newborn twins to bully them into doing what he wanted to. This is what Republicans do. They're bullies and they're shameless and they're immoral. DeLay is also accused of using his charity, Celebrations for Children, okay, which is supposed to help abused and neglected children. He was using it, as he's accused, of as a personal political fund. Hey, you know, those kids are beat up anyways. They can't use all this money. I'd like to use it for me and my, what I need to do in Washington. According, this is, it all comes from a Common Cause complaint with the IRS. All right. Unbelievable. Hey, those are beat up kids. You know what? You know, they, what, if you buy them a candy bar, they're happy, but they don't need all that money. I got to use it to help me.
Well, you know, the, you look at Tom DeLay on the one hand, and then bounce. Let's bounce over to Dick Cheney for a minute, who's got an ongoing scandal going on right under his nose.
Let's say what it really is. Ongoing scandals.
Yeah.
Let's go.
There's more than one. I mean, I was stunned this morning to read that the French government is poised to indict Dick Cheney over a fraud case that happened with a petrochemical plant in Nigeria.
Now, I already know how they're going to spin that one.
Oh, it's France.
It's France.
You know what I mean? You know, it's like, you know, France. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. And, you know, but see, as this has started to unfold, people are starting to go back and look at some of the things that Cheney and Bush and others were saying back during the 2000 campaign, before September 11th, before the war in Iraq. And it looks as though Cheney wasn't exactly on board with the fight against terror when it came to doing business with terrorist nations. In fact, there is some evidence that Halliburton was doing business in Iraq in addition to Iran while Cheney was head of the company.
Of course, of course. You know, and you know what eats my ass? Can I say that?
Sure, you already did.
Is that Tucker Carlson, that smug, sarcastic, conservative dude bag.
You got the beef.
Yeah, I know. He's saying, like, he dismisses Halliburton in the most pompous sort of, like, oh, what are you going to say? Halliburton this, Halliburton that, Halliburton. I mean, that's all you Democrats do is Halliburton. Yeah, that's because the vice president is a criminal. I mean, that's why we're saying it. I mean, you know, it's like these guys are so smug and condescending. You know what he is? He's as dangerous as anybody with a gun, Tucker Carlson, because he's cute. He's got this stupid hair. He's got his dumb little bow tie and his, you know, nice little teeth. Not that I'm attracted to him in any way. But but it's just for him to sort of smugly and cutely dismiss stuff that's very important in this condescending way makes him just as dirty and stinky as Tom DeLay. And we're going to talk more about these stinky Republicans when we come back. Sorry, I just spit all over everything.
That's right.
You say Republican, like spit comes out of my mouth.
Coming up, the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and you won't believe what our president said on the stump. You'll hear it next on Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe to AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Iraqi Foreign Minister Hashir Zabari says Iraq's neighbors need to offer concrete help in making his country a safer place. Meeting of Iraq's neighboring countries is taking place today in Egypt. More bad news for the Bush White House with respect to the war in Iraq. American death toll has now surpassed 900 with the killing of an American soldier by a roadside bomb blast early this morning in north of Baghdad. Democrats in Washington and elsewhere are finding it curious that the Justice Department is stepping stepping up his role with former National Security Advisor Sandy Berger around the time the nonpartisan investigative 9/11 commission is about to release his long-awaited report. The Berger probe began almost a year ago with the former Clinton administration figure declaring no impropriety. Beltway pundits say the controversy is steeped in politics. And music and fashion mogul Sean P. Diddy Combs is looking to turn out the young vote in the presidential contest. Yesterday, Combs unveiled Citizens for Change. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Do your part to help the economy of Air America Radio. Log on to airamericaradio.com for t-shirts, hats, coffee mugs, tote bags, and more. Just click on our Get the Gear banner and spend, spend, spend!
Do you have an Air America Radio dog shirt?
Yes, we do have a dog shirt, but be careful how you say dog shirt. The FCC is listening.
Air America dog shirts. I really stepped in it now.
Air America Radio gear. Wear the air!
What happened to you? You look different.
I had the Diamond Vision Miracle.
The Diamond Vision Miracle? What's that?
Now I can see 20/20 without glasses or contact lenses.
I bet that's a relief.
A relief? It's a huge life change. It's a miracle.
It's time for you to be free of glasses and contact lenses through the miracle of bladeless LASIK from Diamond Vision. Diamond Vision is the number one LASIK practice in the tri-state area, with 6 convenient locations. And with customized bladeless LASIK, you can have sharper day and night vision than ever before. In fact, Diamond Vision has performed more custom view bladeless procedures than any other practice in the tri-state area. And they were the first center to teach this state-of-the-art technology. Don't wait to see all that you can see. Schedule your free consultation online at diamondvision.org or call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020. Also take advantage of their exclusive 24-month free financing. Call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020.
What was that miracle again?
The Diamond Vision Miracle.
Call 1-800-984-2020.
The Majority Report.
What they do with it when they redact things like that, they put it on microfiche. And we all know that microfiche is one of the safest, most reliable ways of maintaining information. Nothing can ever go wrong when you have microfiche.
But Sam!
What?
Something did go wrong with the microfiche.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
Bush's military records.
What are the chances? What a coincidence. And it's the only way he could prove that he wasn't blowing off service.
Yeah, that microfilm disintegrated.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
You know how this works. We wake up and we go to work. You know what I mean? It's morning sedition. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley over there.
Good morning.
We've got people worked up. People are calling us. Let me just do this right now first. Here we go. This is the, I got this from my guy, Ralphie. My guy Ralphie in the
Ralphie.
White House got us the presidential palm pilot. He downloaded this. It's the schedule for the pres today. 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. I'm a peace president. Or is it I'm a war president? I get confused. Call Cheney. 8:40 a.m. Call broker. Invest $5 million in biotech stock through Dummy Cayman Island Corporation. 9:40 a.m. Sign $5.2 billion BioShield Act of 2004. Martha, that's how the big boys do it. 10:10 a.m. Photo op with living members and spouses of the 11 Apollo space missions. Fun idea. Have photo taken on movie set where we fake the moon landing. Where they still have that, yeah. 2:25 p.m., meet with Prime Minister of Romania. Assure him that the United States is committed to fighting the war on vampires. 4:30 p.m., get briefing on results of tomorrow's 9/11 commission report. Then go into usual spin mode. Elevate terror code, blame the CIA, schedule a last-minute campaign visit to Guam for a week or so. Visit Evan Cohen. 7:15 p.m., 7:15 p.m. Speak at President's dinner, or given the recent polls, the Last Supper. 9 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thought headline. Quote: U.S. invades Iran. Macho war president hailed by adoring citizens. There you go. I thought we were gonna. Where were we? We're laying into Cheney, right?
Well, we were laying into Cheney.
But we're gonna go to Bush. And
we're gonna go to
him.
Bush. Yeah, we might as well go straight to the top.
Wait, can we just take this call though?
Can we?
Can we just talk to this guy? I just think I don't... Cliff, how are you, Cliff?
What's
on
up,
your
Cliff?
Mind?
How are you doing this morning?
I'm okay.
Listen, we need to stop griping.
About?
We need to stop griping about Cheney.
Oh, come on.
Listen, you know why?
Why?
Because we did not do our homework.
I made a lot of calls, buddy.
We
I said
did
this
not,
isn't
listen,
the guy.
You made a lot of calls. But the Democrat?
Yeah.
Is that what they were? Okay, they kind of sat down and figured that, well, since we were all fat and happy from the Clinton years, that we would basically just hand the presidency over to the second guy on the line at the trough. You know what I mean? The meat guy, he was great. We all got meat now. The guy that was at the potatoes, well, since the meat guy's gone, let's just move him up. It'll be great, no problem. We
didn't
even look into this guy's past.
I think a lot of people looked into his past. I'm trying to figure out the meat and potato analogy. I enjoyed it. I'm not sure I quite get it. But I don't know what he's talking about. You know, first of all, Bush won the popular vote, you know, with
Cheney.
Gore won the popular vote. You know, Bush was, you know, sort of court appointed, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knew Cheney's past. We all knew it. If he's saying that people didn't step up and vote, or he's saying that the Democrats, you know, were not as cohesive as they should be, that's probably true. But I don't think anybody was in the dark about who this guy was.
Well, remember, too, that, you know, Dick Cheney, when I was on LIB and we talked politics, we talked about Dick Cheney's background and record, et cetera. I was there in Philadelphia in 2000 to see Dick Cheney up close and personal from the floor of the Republican
National
Committee.
Did your skin burn? Did it get heated when you were around him? Was he irradiating some sort of weird kind of nuclear demonic glow?
My ears were twitching.
Ooh,
every time I got near, got in the same arena with Dick Cheney.
Sometimes people who get around him hear a high-pitched tone followed by, you will be my minion, and they don't understand what it means.
What, minion? I can understand. Well, look, let's go to the top here. Let's go to George W. Bush.
Is he the top?
He thinks he is. Anyway, look, this guy has not, now, you know, I understand, you know, you go out.
I just had a weird image. I think the George Bush would definitely be a bottom. Anyways, go ahead.
No, when there's a, you're an incumbent president in trouble. Let's set this up.
Yeah.
You're an incumbent president in trouble.
Yeah.
You've got your opponent's national convention coming up. You know that the country's going to be focused on it.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Right.
You start a little trouble. You start a little. You say something that seems to be so contradictory to what you said before that everyone has to sit up and take notice. And of course, in your world, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Our president was stumping in a couple of swing states the other day, Iowa, Missouri, with the twins. His own.
I'm doing a swing thing.
Yeah, okay. And not the twins that you see in those. What commercial is that? The Coors commercial?
I think
it's
the Wrigley's commercial. Weren't there the Wrigley's twins?
There were Wrigley's twins, and then there were the Coors twins.
Now
too,
they're the Coors twins?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The ones that, you know, they.
But don't they look the same and are really hot? The Bush twins, they don't look the same, and one of them's all right. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, George W. Bush is now saying, now, folks, I want you to sit there and pay close attention. He now says he wants to be the peace president.
What?
That's right, the peace president. After plunging this country into unilateral warfare, Bush thinks the best way to steal thunder from the upcoming Democratic National Convention, the best way to steal the thunder from the 9/11 Commission, is to come up with statements like this.
The enemy declared war on us, and you just got to know, nobody wants to be the war president.
Well, I thought you did.
I want to be the peace president.
Whoa.
Your ears did not deceive you.
Which enemy was he talking about? I don't remember Iraq declaring war.
All right. We quibble.
Yeah.
Just in case you forgot, this is what George W. Bush had to say in February to Tim Russert about what kind of president he was then.
I'm a war president. I make decisions here in the Oval Office. In foreign policy matters with war on my mind.
But I thought I'm lost.
So is he.
Oh, yeah, so,
I'm a war president.
Right, but what about...
I want to be the peace president.
Wait, but how come...
I'm a war president.
Wait a minute.
I want to be the peace president.
Wait, can you just...
I'm a war president.
Would you please make up... All right!
please.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. But you know what's weird is that you listen when he said, I'm a war president. Mm-hmm. He was selling that. He wasn't just saying it. He wasn't saying, you know, it's hard for me. I know war is bad. I know, you know, people die. It's the right thing to do. It's a tough decision to make. He just said, you know,
I'm a war president.
Confidently. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a selling point. I am going to appeal to all the narrow-minded, hate-filled bullies in the world that know nothing other than anger to vote for me. But now, all of a sudden, it's like he's realizing, hey, we're we're my hate-filled bully contingent.
Yeah.
Right? So now it's like...
I want to be the peace president.
He can't even say that convincingly. Because in order to be the peace president, or to have peace, or to even be peaceful, you have to have empathy, compassion, you have to care about other people. It's unbelievable, the flip-flop. This is a major flip-flop. Who's going to buy this? 866-303-2270. How are you feeling about George Bush? Do you buy that he's the peace president, or do you think that...
I'm a war president.
Uh-huh.
I think we might go with the latter on that one.
So we're taking calls. Why, you know, he keeps... I see it. You're sticking your hand in your head. We'll be right back with Air America Radio.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
I think so.
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Hey, here we are. I feel pretty good for Wednesday.
Me too.
Usually I feel like I've been hit in the head by a hammer on Wednesday. I don't know what it is. Sometimes when you're on this schedule, you just walk around like you've just been in a pillow fight. You know what I mean? Where you sort of your eyes are watering and you're wondering, you know, why your friend is laughing at you. 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
I'm a war president.
What is it? What's wrong with this?
I want to be the peace president.
Shut up. You.
I'm a war president.
All right. Now, hey. Ah, see, that's both the vice president and the president kicking in. There you have it, man. Tony in Hollywood, Florida. How are you, Tony?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Toby.
Toby.
Toby, sorry.
Oh, I know that voice. What are you? How are you, Mommy?
Oh! Wow!
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
This could be embarrassing.
I just want to tell you that, you know, now that you're getting a little funnier.
Oh, my goodness.
You're not so serious all the time.
Oh, well, thank God. Thank God. My mother called, I called her like a few days ago. She's like, you're awfully serious. I remember when you were a comedian. So you're getting a few more laughs down there, Mom?
And I want to tell you something. I was thinking yesterday that Grandma Goldie, do you talk about her on the air?
No, but I guess we are, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She used to call me whenever she saw you on TV.
Yeah.
After your HBO special, she'd call and say, is he ever going to get a real job? And you know what? I think he got it.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad, Mom. That's so nice. She also said, I remember after the HBO special, she said, Mark, you looked good, but you were a little filthy, I think is what she said. Mom, shouldn't you be out walking your three dogs and running? Isn't it time for Pilates? Did you?
But wait. Before you go.
That's my co-host, Mark Riley. It's my mom, Toby.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Let me ask you this. What kind of child was Mark? And be honest.
He was a social being.
Uh-huh. A social being?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Mark was very interested in social development.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. So I was doing studies? What does that mean, as a social being?
Well, when you got thrown out of that school, you basically told me it was because you were doing your social being stuff.
In other words, they didn't tell you why they were throwing him out. They left it to him to tell you why they were throwing him out.
Right. He went on a field trip, and the next thing I know, he was out of that little school.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I can tell.
And then what did you do with him?
I was caught with Patty Ryan's boobs in my hand.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
I remember that.
Then he went to a regular school.
A regular school.
Uh-huh. It was a private school that got thrown out.
Oh, you got thrown out of a private school, went to a regular school, tried to fondle someone there too,
No, what happened there is, like, the first regular school I went to, I did so badly, I went back to the private school and begged them to let me back in. And then they let me back in and let me go the year after that.
They let you go? Oh, so this was kind of like you really ping-ponging around. This was all over New Mexico, was it?
Yeah, I had some problems.
You had a couple of problems.
And I, you know, all right, so what else, Mom? Is there anything you want to embarrass me with?
No, you were a good kid.
You were a good kid. Well, where did he go wrong then?
Hold on, let me say something I don't say very often. Well, you were a good mother, Mom.
You said that in front of millions of people, Mark.
I know. I love you, Mom. Have a good day. I'll call you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
866-303-2270. 866-303-2270. I was kicked out of that school. They sent a letter.
They sent
a letter to my parents saying that we suggest a boarding school or a military school for Mark. He has the wrong kind of leadership qualities. We'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Rags to riches. It's the American dream. But here's the reality check. Today, a child born in the poorest American families has only a 1 in 3 chance of ever rising above the bottom 20% in income. And that child has almost no chance of making it to the top rungs of the economic ladder. Studies show that moving up the economic ladder is actually easier in countries such as Germany, Canada, Finland, and Sweden than in the United States. Here's one reason. In America's top colleges, which often lead to the best jobs, only 10% of students come from families in the bottom half of the earning spectrum. Rags to rags and riches to riches is now the norm in this country. At the Century Foundation, we have ideas for restoring the American dream. When we know the facts, we can find real solutions. Get informed. Visit the Century Foundation online at www.centuryfoundation.org. That's www.centuryfoundation.org.
New York City in summer. You know how hot it gets. And if you have leaky, drafty windows, you know what that does to your energy bills. That's why now's a great time to replace them with custom-fit windows from Sears. Call Sears for a free in-home estimate at 1-800-448-6600. Call now and save 15% on select styles. Sears double-paned extra-strength windows have insulated frames, and this combination may help you reduce your energy costs. And Sears makes getting your new windows simple and affordable. So call 1-800-448-6600 and save 15% on select styles. Offer ends July 31st. Ask your representative for offer details and written warranty. Services and materials provided by Bill Ray, a Sears authorized contractor. License number available on request. So don't go another summer without the energy efficiency of Sears replacement windows. Call now 1-800-448-6600.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
That's good. That's good. So it's weird. So now, like, everybody here at the studio now has heard my mother.
Yes.
And has seen and listened to me interact with my mother. There's some. It adds a whole other dimension to a guy, doesn't it, Riley?
It certainly does. Now, if we could just talk to some of the women you dated, like Patty Ryan in particular.
I don't know what happened to Patty Ryan. That was in eighth grade, man, and it's a weird story, and I don't know. I don't mind telling it. It wasn't that big a deal.
She's now a housewife living in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, with three kids, and didn't want to hear about how you...
I hope so. I was sent home from a... It was... All right, I'll tell that story. I've got no problem telling that story, but we've got some people on the phone that will just sit there and go, why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our life here. They're talking about some woman's boobs. I don't understand.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Matt in Minnesota, how are you, Matt?
What's up, Matt?
I'm great. Hey, listen, I think that was great, your mother called. I think we need a trail of Marc Maron's history in New Mexico so we fans can go and relive your childhood.
There you go.
What do you think, huh?
Yeah, it goes all over the place, but the New Mexico years are good. Yeah, I'll get that. Maybe on the website I'll give you a point-to-point history.
I wasn't doing that in eighth grade. That's pretty good. That's precocious.
It was precocious, and my mother used to always say that. For some reason, the girls in my eighth grade class were extremely precocious. It was unbelievable.
That was social development.
Anyway,
what was the time between Bush saying I'm war president, Bush saying I'm peace president? Was it like 3 hours or something? I mean, they got 900 radio stations. They can turn the public on a dime. It's weird.
Yeah, the time difference right here.
I'm a war president. I want to be the peace president.
Very, very little time difference.
Yeah, very little time difference, but it's actually February and yesterday.
Yeah, February 8th. And yesterday.
Oh, Clear Channel, I think the public would be with him in 30 seconds because we got 900 radio stations.
Can you even believe that, does he think that the collective memory is that short? It's unbelievable that the nads on this arrogant bastard.
I know. It's amazing.
Thanks for calling, man.
That's why I called.
Okay. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right, Matt.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Patty Ryan. All right, Patty. So they were a precocious bunch. Call us at 866-303-2270. Here's what happens, all right? There's a big trip, all right? The super class of 81. Mrs. Hagem, the librarian, is the chaperone of the trip. We're all going down to Carlsbad Caverns and White Sands from Albuquerque. It's like a five-hour drive, right? So we get on a bus. We go. We spend a night in a hotel at White Sands. Patty Ryan is in my room. We're making out in the bathroom, okay? And somehow or another, I removed her breasts, and I was holding them, as one does in eighth grade, because you don't really know what to do with them.
Right?
So you just sort of hold both of them. And right at that moment, Mrs. Hagem, the librarian chaperone, opens the door and goes, Patty, go to your room. So there I am, holding...
A good solution?
Yeah, holding nothing. Yeah, Patty's gone.
With your hands still outstretched.
My hands are empty. The next thing I know, the next day, I'm put on a Greyhound, sent back to New Mexico, alone, shamed. And the only thing I remember about that Greyhound bus ride home is that they didn't have Walkman then, so I'd rigged two of those single earphones to a little crappy cassette player, and I was listening to Aerosmith, and some guy who looked like an ex-convict sitting next to me drinking from a liquor bottle says, what are you listening to? I said Aerosmith, and he goes, why don't you give me one of those plugs? So there I am. I got one ear. I gave him the other earplug. So I'm sitting there with this guy in a Greyhound drinking from a pint bottle, looking like he just killed somebody, and we're both listening to my Aerosmith through these two separate little earphones.
Now, did Patty Ryan, did she wave goodbye when she saw you leaving?
No, we were shamed. She wore a Scarlet A for like a year after that. And, you know, the thing was, is like when he gets sent home for holding boobs, you know, my mom was like, Mark. And my dad was like, hey, good for
nice
you.
Nice work.
And Grandma Goldie happened to be in town. She goes, I don't know what's wrong with him. You know, it was just a fiasco.
How many people did you tell about that at the time it happened?
Well, I was sort of like, you know, I was, you know.
You told everybody, didn't you?
I was kind of
you
proud.
You ratted this girl. You sang like Pavarotti.
It wasn't singing. It was more of like, look what I've done. I'm a hero. Where's my parade?
I am king.
Sally in Staten Island. What's going on out there?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thanks for being there, the voice of reason.
I'm rarely called that, but I appreciate it.
It is. It's true.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's sad, though. We've really lost our freedom in this country, and people just don't see it.
I know. It's unbelievable.
They drank the Kool-Aid. It's so true.
And they think it's preferable.
It's just sick.
They're
it's
more comfortable with it.
I just can't. I can't believe that Bush is now wants to be a peace president.
Can you believe that? The tone of him saying this.
I'm a war president.
Confident, really thinking that he would sell that, you know, that people would respect him for that. And now.
I want to be the peace president.
Dancing around like a hippie. What do you know?
Ridiculous. It's totally. I was reading the Times yesterday in the dentist office, and on the front cover was about our soldiers being ripped off by big insurance companies.
Ridiculous. The veterans are not. They get screwed when they come home, and a lot of them call us and they complain. They're disillusioned.
I can't. What is going on? Why don't people read? I don't. Of course, we
that's
know
a
Fox
question.
Is a Republican paper, but that's ridiculous. Fox News. The Post, they're all horrible.
Yeah, but, you know, honestly, to be optimistic, Sally, is that the poll numbers are going down. People are not as confident in this president in a lot of ways. You know, he's got his diehard supporters who are frightening, but they're less than they were. And, you know, I certainly appreciate your call.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I think a lot of people who do read, who do consume, see, I consume a lot of media. I go the opposite way. Because, look, some people just, you know, they get overloaded. They say, look, I'm not reading any of this crap because it's all a load.
Yeah.
I really kind of read a lot of different stuff and try and sift through how each different outlet reports a particular story. Can't always get all of them, though.
No, I mean, I have to stuff my head full. I'm literally burping information. All right, here we go. It's like, what was that? It's like some sort of weird referendum. All right, this is the liberal agenda for today. Get your notebooks. Just came in from the Streisand compound. Here we go. One, for anniversary of moon landing, lobby historians to change the quote to one small step for person, one giant leap for person kind. Two, set up Canadian information booth at Democratic convention for potential draft dodgers. Three, fly in consultants from Hong Kong to feng shui the Democratic hospitality tent.
Ooh.
There you go. Four, lobby to change name of local battle of the bands to conflict resolution of the bands. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, you know, they called in the Red Sox because most of them were card-carrying Bolsheviks. A lot of people don't know that. There you go. We're coming back in a few minutes at the top of the hour, Mark.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, Jonathan Alter on Ralph Nader and the War on Brains when we come back here on Air America Radio.
The best things in life aren't always free, like free radicals that may have harmful effects on your body. That's why there's Nature's Bounty antioxidants like vitamin C and E and CoQ10 to neutralize excess free radicals and help reduce the premature aging of cells.
Now find a $1 off coupon good on any Nature's Bounty product in this Sunday's newspaper. That's a $1 off coupon in your July 25th Sunday newspaper.
The best things in life, they're from Nature's Bounty.
Nature's Bounty, a natural part of life.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. With the Democratic Convention just around the corner, there's word this morning that the GOP is looking to prop up the man long dub America's mayor, Rudolph Giuliani, to rebut Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry on the very day he delivers his acceptance speech to the nation. Republican strategists say the former New York City mayor is the best Republican weapon against the Democrats to send to Boston to speak to reporters. The Republican strategists contend that Americans know Giuliani as a strong leader. Strategists believe Giuliani can best describe Kerry as someone who will flip-flop on the issues, especially over his vote on the war in Iraq. Strategists, however, have declined to comment on the president's recent flip-flop from being a war to a peace president. Giuliani, just the same, according to reports, is one of the GOP's most popular speakers and works closely with the Bush White House. He'll have a major speaking role next month at the Republican National Convention. Giuliani is now considered a possible presidential contender in the year 2008. President Bush yesterday was in St. Charles, Missouri, where he told a gathering of supporters something that most political scientists and historians, that is, don't believe. Bush told supporters that he wants to be known as a peace president. Bush says he needs four more years to ensure the safety of every American. President said, quote, four more years and America will be as safe and the world will be at peace.
In this world, you just can't hope for the best. You have to lead. You have to make the hard decisions to make sure America is a safer place and the world is a more peaceful place.
President Bush in Missouri yesterday on the campaign stop. From all indications, Iraq is not a peaceful place. With the American death toll on the rise, U.S. death toll in Iraq has surpassed 900. It happened when an American soldier was killed by a roadside bomb early Wednesday while a patrol north of Baghdad. Four other Americans, two soldiers and two Marines, died in attacks Tuesday. Army says the soldier who died Wednesday was in a Bradley fighting vehicle hit by the blast. Iraq's new government has asked the United Nations inspectors to return to the country. This, according to the head of the United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Division, the return of the UN inspectors to Iraq has been described as an urgent necessity, not to search for weapons of mass destruction, but to write the final report about the non-existence of such weapons in Iraq. The Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency says the action will enable the lifting of sanctions against the nation. September 11th Commission's final report will not declare that the worst terrorist attack in the United States history was preventable, even though some panelists said during the 20-month investigation they believe the hijackers could have been stopped. In a final analysis, the five Democrats and five Republicans on the panel did not want to draw a conclusion on that major point, believing it could open the way to partisan sniping in a presidential election year. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Students and graduates, listen up. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. That's right, more than half with the federal government's free student loan consolidation program available from NextStudent. Every day, thousands take advantage of this money-saving program, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments by more than half. Call 1-800-430-NEXT, and NextStudent will help you refinance your college loans and lock in on historically low federal interest rates. Right now, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. Take advantage of this free program. It's easy to apply. There's no credit check, no out-of-pocket expenses, and in as little as 5 minutes, you can find out if you're eligible for this money-saving program. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. Take advantage of this program, and you'll have loads of extra cash in your pocket. Call 1-800-430-NEXT. It's easy, it's quick, and it's free. But you gotta act now. Call NextStudent today at 1-800-430-NEXT. That's 1-800-430-NEXT.
The best things in life aren't always free, like free radicals that may have harmful effects on your body. That's why there's Nature's Bounty antioxidants like vitamin C and E and CoQ10 to neutralize excess free radicals and help reduce the premature aging of cells.
Now find a dollar off coupon good on any Nature's Bounty product in this Sunday's newspaper. That's a dollar off coupon in your July 25th Sunday newspaper.
The best things in life, they're from Nature's Bounty.
Nature's Bounty. Natural part of life.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Air America's Randy Rhodes.
Why in the world would they go out of their way to break a contract? I'm sure there was something in writing between the SlimFast Corporation and Whoopi Goldberg. I'm sure her agent and her lawyer and their lawyers penned an agreement, and I'll bet you anything it cost them money to get rid of her. But it's not political? Maybe there's more fat Republicans than there are fat Democrats, and they did the math. I don't know.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
It's another hour and another day. Today happens to be Wednesday, Mark Riley. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, hump day.
I have clarity. I have clarity this Wednesday. I'm not bonked. Like a lot of times the sleep thing doesn't work out, and on Wednesday it hits me all at once. Not now.
You're all right now.
I'm full of the juice.
Did you have a good night sleeping last night?
I did, man. I don't know. I got to bed at at the same time babies go to sleep.
7:30, 8 o'clock. Yeah.
No, I got to bed at like 9. It was good. You know, I did some reading. After a tough crowd, I went home and I didn't feel great about myself, so I plowed through a pint of Ben and Jerry's. With chocolate syrup.
Ooh.
But you know what? I went for just plain vanilla. You know, sometimes you don't want to complicate things. And I don't know if it was because of what we said on the air, you know, rallying when we had Ben on.
Yeah.
Rallying him to get bigger things. But they've made the pint a little taller.
Really?
Yeah, they've added a few extra spoonfuls in the pint. And you know what? It made a difference because I naturally just plowed through an entire pint. And I know, like, when I go home, there's, like, 4 spoonfuls left.
Really?
That's only going to tease me into the next one. That's how they get you, man.
That's the Marin effect.
They know that if you're hooked, you're only going to go through the whole pint, that you have a pint stopping point in your head. Like, wow, I feel like I've eaten a pint. This is great. I'll just have a little for tomorrow. And then you're going to get there, and you're going to get to the pint, and you're going to go in, and you're like, there's going to be 4 spoonfuls. And you're like, thank God the deli's open. I got to go get more.
How much do you pay for a pint? Oh, wait a minute. Now, Ben and Jerry's isn't as bad as Haagen-Dazs, right? Is it cheaper near where you are?
I usually eat the Haagen-Dazs vanilla because Haagen-Dazs vanilla is like frozen butter.
Butterfat. Yeah, it is. Yeah. 99.9% butterfat. It's wonderful.
And I have a milkshake machine that somebody gave me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it was a waste. Back in the day, you know when your Coke would get screwed up? somehow or another just by sweat or in your pocket or something?
Yeah.
Well, I go to make this milkshake in the milkshake machine, and I hadn't made it in a while, and I dump a whole pint of ice cream in there, and I put milk in, and I whipped it up, and I put too much milk, so it just turned into this mildly sort of thick, sweet milk thing, and I was like, man, I just wasted a pint of ice cream. Like, I screwed up my drugs. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I understand. Friends have told me.
So the U.S. Air Force... Frank, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm reaching out to people that know what I'm talking about. If you want to judge me, or if you're old... And you only see me as seeing, you know, talking about drugs as some sort of like, what is wrong with, well, why does he talk about the issues?
Well, drugs are the issue, I guess.
The U.S. Air Force is asking defense contractors how they might develop a 30,000-pound precision-guided bomb, all right, that could destroy targets like way deep underground, you know, in caves or bunkers, right? So you know what they're going to call the weapon?
No.
I'm not making this up. The Massive Ordnance Penetrator.
Ooh.
And you know, Michael Powell and the FCC, don't try to find me on that one, all right? Because I'm just saying what the Air Force named it. I mean, what, are they watching too much porn over there? The Massive Ordnance Penetrator? Come on, man.
Don't we all have one of them?
General, I think we should call it the Massive Ordnance Penetrator. With all due respect, sir, I think your suggestion, the Stupendous Sugar Wall Piercer, is a little off the mark. Well, Corporal, it's better than your original idea, the Hardened Bunker Lubricator. Apparently, the new weapon would substantially be substantially larger than the current penetrating bomb, the GBU-28, a 5,000-pound weapon, or as it's more commonly known as the Milton Berle. For those of you in the know,
we're done here. You know.
Okay, come on, man.
Come on, man. We got another 2 hours and change, and then we're the hell out.
Why don't they join in on this? We're fighting for our lives. Okay.
Well, on another note.
Wait, hold on. I'll set it up.
I'm a war president.
What?
I want to be the peace president.
Make up your mind.
I'm a war president.
Oh my God! What's wrong with this guy?
President.
Hey.
I'm a war president.
I feel like is Danger Mouse available? Can we get him to do a remix?
Yeah, definitely.
Bush says give him 4 more years and he'll make the U.S. even safer than it is now.
Why didn't he just say, I know I screwed up so far. Like, I know it's actually less safe than it was before because, you know, I went into Iraq and without any support, and now I've created an insurgency that is, you know, multi-denominational in its, you know, intentions.
Well, maybe he said, maybe he's actually.
That made sense.
Yeah, it made sense. I think what he wants to do is maybe convince people, for example, that he will inspect twice as many or make sure the government inspects twice as many containers at American ports as they now do, which means it'd be up to a whopping 2%.
God, man, they got to get that thing under control. I already got the creeps, you know what I mean?
I do too.
I went into a freak out again on the train. You know, some people are better at it than me. They're just sort of like, dude, it's all hype, you know, don't even think about it.
Well, when we have a president like this, we have to think about it.
Dude, he's like, you know, it's clear that the world is less safe. He completely, you know, destabilized the Mideast. Bin Laden is campaigning for him, apparently. I mean, this president has
done
more than Bin Laden could ever have done to unite a collective Islamic front against this country. And as the guy from who wrote as Anonymous said yesterday, it's kind of weird referring to a guy.
Yeah, right.
Anonymous said that they actually, it's not they don't hate us because of our principles. They hate us because we're occupying their territory. And apparently, this president has been the best thing that ever happened to global terrorism.
Well, you know, he ran as a conservative while, you know, growing the federal government. And he's running, saying he wants to be a peace president and touting his record, while at the same time, for example, you know, cutting 20% of the sky marshals that both he and the Congress agreed were needed just 2 years ago. His latest budget submission for fiscal 2005 will have 20% fewer sky marshals.
This is a guy that will always, like, he'll initiate a program, he'll get something going a little bit, and as soon as it puts a drain on the money or where he wants to put the money, he'll always answer to the money. And he'll just shovel it under the carpet until somebody notices, and then people will say something and still won't make any difference anymore. Because it's almost like the same thinking that he has when he says, you know,
I'm a war president.
And then, like, within a few months,
I want to be the peace president.
Does he think that people don't remember the confidence he had in thinking that he was going to garner votes by saying,
I'm a war president.
And now all of a sudden it's like,
I want to be the peace president.
Look, I got my hippie beads on.
It's like Rocky II to John Lennon.
Yeah. What that is that George Bush yesterday trying to kiss a new demographic's ass.
Yes. That was the peace president part. The war president part was February 8th during an interview with Tim Russert. Now, Bush is beating the hustings in places like Iowa and Missouri. Al Gore won Iowa by just over 4,000 votes, which is a very small margin in 2000. And Bush took Missouri by a very small margin as well. So what does Bush do? He trots out the twin daughters and goes on the stump. He's touting his record as he ups the heat in this run-up to the Democratic National Convention. And Bush told a cheering audience that he can get the job done.
After 4 years, 4 more in this office, I want people to look back and say, the world is a more peaceful place. America is a safer country. 4 more years and America will be safer. And the world will be more peaceful.
Okay, and what is that based on?
I don't know.
I don't know, man. When that guy opens his mouth, sometimes it gets so filled with contempt that all I can do is eat more ice cream.
Well, see, here's one of the things you got to realize when you're looking at what Bush is saying and how he's positioning himself.
Yeah.
he doesn't have that much of a record. Was he going to run out of Afghanistan? I don't think so.
He didn't even finish that.
I know. Is he going to run on Iraq?
That's not done either.
He cut and ran there, too. Is he going to run on No Child Left Behind? He didn't even bother to fund that.
That didn't work out.
Is he going to run on Medicare?
I don't think so. Let's ask some old people.
Well, he thinks that he can run on all the above. What he's going to do over the next week or so during the Democratic Convention is kind of temper and moderate his criticisms of John Kerry and John Edwards while he starts this bit-by-bit rollout of his agenda for a second term. Now,
he's got to figure that out first.
Yeah, I know. But ask yourself this question.
Okay.
Because apparently his spokespeople are dropping that the top part of the agenda is going to be stinking tort reform.
Right. Because and they're gonna keep hitting Edwards.
Yeah, because they're lawyers.
Yeah,
they're lawyers. I'm not a lawyer. I should be your president for 4 more years.
Being a lawyer and a president used to be a good thing. Let's talk about that in a minute. We'll be back on Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a 4-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Nice.
Danger Mouse.
Groovy. Very nice. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. We're blogging at morningsedition.com. Some people are posting their theses.
Yes. Or is that theses?
Theses. Clean up your theses. I didn't have time to read them. Maybe I'm being... I'm sorry. I will... Maybe they're not theses. You know, I will have to take a look. I don't have time. I'm on the air. But thank you for blogging. Appreciate it. MorningSedition.com is a fully operational website. You can go there and explore and buy books. We have pictures. You know, we have all kinds of stuff. Now it's time. What day is today?
Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday. Okay, Thursday I'll go. Here's my dream from last night. I finally fall asleep in front of the TV. I'm in a silver lamé gown dancing with Fred Astaire. Fred is singing, Heaven, I'm in heaven, and it is heaven, even though I'm in four-inch heels and dancing backwards. Suddenly, Dick Cheney comes crashing through the wall of my spotless black-and-white Manhattan penthouse, thirsting for blood. So I ditch the heels, and I start tear-assing for the nearest exit. I go through the door, and I'm a tough crowd with Colin Quinn, luckily not dressed as Ginger Rogers. The topic, what would you do if Dick Cheney came crashing through that wall wanting to drink your blood? Just then, Dick Cheney came crashing through the wall wanting to drink my blood. So I'm out the door, but I'm pretty sure Colin got eaten. Now, I'm a brutally handsome but abusive husband that has deceived a saintly long-suffering wife. Will Valerie Bertinelli find the courage to stand up to this sexy monster and get on with her life? Will I have to spend the rest of this dream as a villain in a Lifetime movie? Nope, because here comes Cheney crashing through the door of our split-level ranch house. More running. I'm at a dog show trotting around the ring next to a poodle with pink bows in its hair. I'm about to get best of show when, bam! Yup, Cheney again, with a terrier in each claw, bellowing for blood of Mark Maron. More running. Now I'm at the World Poker Championships. I've got two sixes and two queens. I bet $500,000. The Asian guy raises me, and the guy with the cowboy hat calls. They were bluffing, suckers. So just as I reach for the $3 million pot, Cheney explodes through the center of the table. Chips go flying. Complimentary cocktails soak the carpet. So, okay, now I'm pissed. All right? And I look Cheney in the eye and I say, what do you want, man? He rears up on his hind legs and makes a noise like tadpoles being crushed. I want to dance! I woke up and my bed was filled with basic cable.
Ooh.
Were you watching any of that, the Apollo anniversary stuff? Did you see any of that?
Apollo Theater or Apollo Moon Mission?
No, the Apollo Moon Mission. It was the anniversary of one of the launches the other day, and they were doing all this coverage about the Apollo launches. And the one thing that I noticed is, like, the Neil Armstrong one, I think it was Apollo 11, was it? The one thing that really stood out to me is these guys are going to the moon. And, you know, just when you go to an airport today, you know, you never have to touch the ground. You go on the jetway, and you go into the jet. They drop these guys off in a van, and they got to walk to the rocket. Mm-hmm. Outside. They're carrying their little breath packs, and they're like, all right, we're just here. Thanks for dropping us off. We're going to get in the rocket over here. There was no jetway. There was no nothing. They just drop them off. They're walking across the parking lot with their air packs to go in the rocket.
Well, that's the, you know, it looked like they had just, you know, gotten picked up hitchhiking.
Right? It was
the guy just dropped them off. Hey, we're going to the rocket over there. Can you drop us off?
Exactly, exactly. Thanks for the ride, buddy. We're going to go ahead and take the rocket now.
Well, you know, in the old days, too, rather than, you know, fly and land like the Columbia, you know, the space shuttles do now. In the old days, they always fell in the ocean. So they had to send out these rescue, you know, rescue craft, and they'd have to open the hatch, and you'd see all. I mean, this was all on TV. They play it all on TV, and the guys would have to climb out through the top of little space pods and stuff.
Yeah.
It was all very Buck Rogers, but it's changed now. It looks like a commuting flight.
Man, they just, like, it's all just happens. They're just in the ship.
Yeah.
But did you ever see The Right Stuff?
No.
I thought it was a great movie. It's one of my favorites. Yeah, it was Philip Kaufman's masterpiece. That guy has made a lot of movies, and I like him. He made The Wanderers years ago. He made Henry and June. He made The Right Stuff. He made The Unbearable Lightness of Being. He made that one with Sean Connery, the Asian one. It was where, you know, it took place. I can't remember what the name of it was, but The Right Stuff is a great dark. It's not a dark comedy, but it's definitely shot with comedy in mind and just the foibles of being an astronaut, first astronaut. It's a beautiful movie.
You know, it's incredible because astronauts, I came of age at the time of the first, you know, Alan Shepard and John Glenn and all those people. And they were lionized as heroes for such a long time. Now, you know, I mean, 40 years after the fact, other than this reunion thing, you never hear anything about these guys.
About the astronauts. The guys who went up there. It was a great character that Jack Nicholson played in those bad movies. What are those called? What were those movies called with Deborah Winger? The really manipulative, kind of like tearjerkers.
Oh,
Terms of Endearment.
Terms of Endearment.
The idea of the retired astronaut. And Brian Regan actually does a great bit about he's a comedian. He does this great bit about, you know, talking to a retired astronaut, like anything you could possibly say, you know, like that you did. He's like,
but I blew it a moment.
It's funny. So now the 9/11 Commission comes out in 2 days.
Is it 2 days?
Is it? I think so.
I thought it was tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
It's Thursday. Yeah, it's coming out Thursday.
Someone called me with the wrong information. I was definitely put under the impression. I was called by the commission themselves, and they said, Mark, we just want to alert you before we alert everyone else that it's coming out in 2 days. So they're playing a trick on me. Yeah. I'm going to have to call Benvenista and say, look, you know, it's funny, but, you know, I'm on the air, and, I, you know, it's like it's not prank time. We're talking serious stuff. We're talking about the issues. But, so it doesn't look like it's going to be relatively bipartisan. It's not going to point any major fingers. So both sides are going to have to spin away.
Well, it is going to point fingers at the FBI and CIA. It's not going to point any fingers towards 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Right.
That's for sure. The White House is going to come out of this relatively clean, except for the fact, Mark, and this is where the danger lies for Bush. All of these things, or most of these things that the commission is looking at, happened on his watch. Now, you can't, some people have argued that Bush had enough information prior to September 11th to have taken some kind of action to stop it.
Right.
The commission is not going to make, you know, come to that conclusion. They're not going out on the edge like that because they don't want to be accused of being partisan, of having sniping, or sniping at the Bush administration. But the families of the 9/11 victims, they're the ones that have some very, very important questions that they don't think the commission is going to answer. Chief among them, where's the money?
Yeah,
I love to follow the money. Who funded? They did say that it cost about $500,000 to effect the terrorist attacks.
Right.
The families want to know where the money came from. Who gave these guys? These guys didn't work here and earn $500,000.
Well, here, let's speculate. How about Saudi Arabia?
It could be Saudi Arabia.
I mean, let's speculate about the relationship between, you know, the Bush family, the Saudis' relationship with bin Laden, you know, all that dangerous, chaotic, conspiratorial speculating that some people like to do, but there's proof that a lot of the money, that a lot of the terrorist funding was done through Saudi charities.
Yes. Well, I think they have some factual evidence, actually, as far as that's concerned. But see, here's the problem with the 9/11 families. They know, even if the rest of America has forgotten, how the Bush administration fought the formation of the panel in the first place. They were the ones that pushed to have a 9/11 commission in the first place. And they're getting to a point now where when they hear in published reports, well, we don't really want to, you know, get into a name-calling thing with the president. They don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Because as far as they're concerned, this president opposed the formation of the commission, so the commission should be relatively fearless in how they assess what he did and what his administration did in the run-up to the attack.
It's one of those interesting situations where when we talk here, when I talk, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm impartial in some things. Like, I'm a Democrat, you know, I'm a liberal, I'm a progressive thinker, whatever, but sometimes I find myself, you know, involuntarily, you know, towing the party line and forgetting that, you know, a lot of times Democrats, just like Republicans, are watching their own asses. They're being politicians, you know, and sometimes they don't take the kind of, you know, nadful action they're supposed to.
Well, see, one of the things that I think the Bush administration was successful in doing was going after a couple of the Democratic members of the commission for being partisan while they were still taking testimony.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What was the woman's name? Jamie
Gorelick.
Gorelick. They called her everything but a child of God. And I think what it may have done was temper the commission's desire to go out on that limb, to go out and say, you know what, Bush was responsible for this.
Yeah.
So on that level, they may well have succeeded in at least intimidating the commission into saying, well, we're not going to take a partisan position on this. You notice the Senate Intelligence Committee. They put out a report. Savage the FBI, savage the CIA, did not savage George W. Bush. Do we see a pattern here?
Yeah, absolutely.
Coming up, Milt Mortensen with the War on Brains, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and up next, you on the phones at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-AAR0. This is Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I create a film movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe through AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Former President Bill Clinton has defended his embattled National Security Advisor, Sandy Berger, as a man who always got things right. Clinton, now on a book tour in Denver, said yesterday that the Berger investigation has become a bit of a joke. Anyone who knows Berger well has gone into his office and found him buried beneath papers. President Clinton, in an interview with the Denver Post, took a swipe at President Bush for rolling back his federal wilderness protections. Clinton says there's no national policy, and he strongly disagrees. Agrees with that. The Republicans are propping up former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani as the best Republican weapon against for the media to go to next week for a reaction to the acceptance speech of Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. And music and fashion mogul Sean P. Diddy Combs is getting ready to embark on a new challenge, and that is to rein in the young vote for the November election. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
All senior citizens should have Life Alert.
My life was on the line and they saved it. Thank God for Life Alert. I owe my life to it.
Senior citizens can live feeling protected at home rather than facing a retirement institution. Life Alert provides constant monitoring protection, which allows independent living in the comfort of home. For a free brochure, call 1-800-588-3133.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone, and I realized that I had to do something, take better care of myself. Life Alert is there when I need them, and I feel I can depend on them.
If a senior has an emergency, help is immediately available at the touch of a button, even if the senior can't reach a phone. Life Alert Monitoring Center is on the line and links to local police, fire, and paramedics. For a free brochure that lists all the services and assistance available with Life Alert, call 1-800-588-3133 today. That's 1-800-588-3133. 1-800-588-3133.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
Wednesday on the Al Franken Show, scandal, controversy, and vicious backstabbing. But enough about me and Catherine. On the actual program, we'll reminisce with our old friend David Brock from Media Matters. Remember when David came on to expose the lies of the right-wing media? Then there was the time David told us about our naughty president and his mischievous hijinks. Have a good time. Continue Wednesday on the Al Franken Show.
Past the hour, it's Wednesday. There's no sitting down now.
Got that right.
I'm standing up. I feel alive with spite. Call us, 866-303-2270. 866-303-2270.
You got your arms stretched out like either you're Astro Man.
Wait.
Blah, 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 blah.
What are they talking about? The issues.
Don't worry.
Are we talking about?
The issues will stay.
We're
going to talk to people on the phone.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Stuart in Hollywood, Florida. What's up?
Hey.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
All right, how you doing?
I'm the war president. I'm the peace president. The reason I mention that is you take all of the so-called, which aren't, of course, flip-flops of John Kerry, ball them all up and put them in your back pocket, because this is the biggest flip, this is the biggest flip-flop of all time.
I know. He thinks we're stupid, that we have no memory.
Of course he does. Let me say this to you. I'm a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. I love your show. But I have to say one thing, which just kills me. The Republicans understand, unfortunately, that the average American is a beer-swilling sloth who's more interested in whether Triple H beat Stone Cold Steve Austin on Monday night.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are more interested, are still try to win the day by talking issues with those same beer-swilling sloths who have no clue what they're talking about. And what really pisses me off is we need James Carville and Paul Begala to get back and to help this long-faced bore, John Kerry, who I'm obviously voting for, okay?
Wait. Before you go any further, let me stop you there. Guess where James Carville was just the other day?
I hope he was crawling in Kerry's underpants.
Well, yeah. No, he's working with Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Okay, well, that's cool. I can see that.
I know what you're saying.
And this is they've got a Get Out the Youth Vote program that Carville is now a big part of.
I think what Stuart's trying to say is, like, he needs to feel confident that there's somebody with the experience and reputation and get up and go, like a Carville, like a Begala, to get behind Kerry. Like, there seems to be a lot of talk in the Democratic circles. Everyone's going to vote for him, but I still think that they're not, except for the ones that are going to vote for Nader because they're silly, but, I think that a lot of people still feel that Kerry hasn't been energized, that he's surrounded with a certain amount of energy because Edwards is there. And I think what he's actually requesting, Stuart in Florida, listening to WINZ, is that, you know, he gets somebody with some juice behind him. I think everybody still has this craving that, you know, that all of a sudden Kerry is going to get on stage and just levitate from the fire in his feet.
Astro Man!
Yeah, I mean, and I hope he does, but I understand. I think that he's running a pretty damn good campaign. I watched him, as I said last week, speak for 20 minutes and do a full riff, and I found it moving. I found it compelling. We talked to somebody on the phone. I don't remember who it was who we were talking to. I'll try to remember.
Somebody agreed with you about that, but let's
he said that it depends on the night. Was it Joe Klein?
I think it might have been Joe.
Yeah, Clark. Yeah. That Kerry is still a little inconsistent, but as a performer, I know that happens. You know, and he's working a lot. But yeah, you know, next Thursday we're going to see him. You know, he's going to do it, man. He's going to lay it down.
Let's look at him like Lance Armstrong. Okay, Lance Armstrong, for those of you who don't know, is the guy who's won the Tour de France, I think, five times and beat cancer in the process. Lance Armstrong, I think the other day was in sixth or seventh place in the current Tour de France.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you turn around, here he comes. He's, you know, and bam, he's the leader once again. There is a point at which I'm going to be looking with a great deal of interest at John Kerry speaking at the convention, because I think the convention can be his launching pad if he handles it properly.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think he's been rehearsing for it. He's been moving his way towards it. But like I said, the speech was nice. It had flow. And, you know, he's a different type of statesman. You know, Kerry, stop saying you know, Mark. Stop it. Kerry is an old school kind of statesman.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a guy that's going to get people all riled up with hate. He's a guy that's going to be deliberate. He's going to take his time, and he's going to, you know, set a tone. And as I know as a performer, you know, I remember one time when I was younger, I went up on stage right after Dennis Leary, and I just started, and I was doing a 10-minute set, and Leary had just been up there for, you know, 35 minutes. And with that guy, even if he does badly, the room doesn't know what hit it because of his pace.
Yeah.
So I went up there, and I just tried to jump right into that pace, and I tanked for 10 minutes. And I remember it. Nothing. I got nothing, you know, and all I had was 10 minutes. And after that, I learned that you never go up there trying to steal someone else's energy. You never go up there and try and do what people expect of you. You lay down your own pipe, man. You know, and you wait for them to come around.
Well, I mean, that, in John Kerry's case, that's absolutely true. He cannot try and be, not even John Edwards, I don't think. I think he needs to be who he is. I think people eventually will see his vision, will see the absolute danger, in my judgment, in keeping the guy we got for another 4 years. There's an absolute,
that's,
I mean...
Yeah, that's imperative. And, you know, and I've got the Democratic platform. I'll bring it in tomorrow. Maybe during next week, during the convention week, we'll go over it point for point and sort of see what's going on there. Let's take
absolutely
this call, because someone's drawing their attention to something. It's Tom in New Jersey. Listen to LIB. What's up, buddy?
Hey.
How you doing?
All right.
I want to thank you guys for agitating me on my way to work every morning.
Right on. What's on
we
your mind?
Try.
You got it, man. You got it.
Everybody seems to be putting Tom Kane on a pedestal, but I need to draw your attention to something.
and the rest of the country may not realize it.
Now, Tom Kane, of course, is the chair of the 9/11 Commission.
Right.
Yes. And his family business, NUI Energy of New Jersey, has just been sold to an Atlanta-based energy concern because it's tanked.
Okay. And he also has connections to the oil world as well.
Amarada Hess. Yeah.
Okay, we got
which also has business with Bin Laden and the Bin Laden family and the Saud family.
Okay, we're going to flesh that out. I think we got some information on that. Thanks for hipping us to that, and we'll flesh it out right now. Thanks for your call, Tom.
Yeah, what we've got here is a report, and this goes back to February of 2003. Tom Kane, and by the way, whoever wrote this misspelled his last name, but he was appointed by President Bush in December after Henry Kissinger resigned. He serves on the board of Amarada.
That was a good choice. Bring Henry Kissinger back, the designer of the end of the world. Okay.
Yeah, now, Amarada Hess operates a joint drilling venture in Azerbaijan with Delta Oil, which is a Saudi company whose backers include Khalid bin Mahfouz. Mahfouz is married to one of bin Laden's sisters, and he is suspected of funding charities linked to Al-Qaeda.
Wow.
He also had dealings with the Carlyle Group. You remember them.
The Carlyle Group, who just bought Lowe's Cineplex, or some extension thereof, the Carlyle Group just bought into that chain. So I guess Iraqis can look forward to American blockbusters in the Sunni Triangle anytime soon.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers forever.
Yeah. Well, if they, you know, I tell you, if the Muslims are pissed off about American military being there, wait till American movie theaters come.
Yeah, right.
then the crap's going to really hit the fan.
Oh, by the way, somebody called and mentioned, you know, beer-swilling people who care about Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
I don't drink beer, but I do care about
And you also watch Jerry Springer and haven't seen The Right Stuff. So you're a unique person,
I am
Mark.
A unique person.
A unique progressive.
I also love classical music. And long walks on the beach.
Oh, my God, I'm learning things I never knew. As time goes on, I'm going to know you better, Mark Riley.
Hey.
We got Jonathan Alter from Newsweek to talk about Nader in a minute, the war on brains, and much more right here on Air America Radio.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves. Some laughed laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Hey, it's Wednesday. I'm feeling good. I had a little bit of a Ben and Jerry's hangover.
Uh-oh.
You ever had an ice cream hangover?
Yeah.
They're not as bad as the other kinds of hangovers. And you generally don't lose any sleep with an ice cream hangover unless you eat a lot of ice cream. But I got a little bit of an ice cream hangover. And I'm not taking any melatonin, no more Ambien to a sleep when I can't sleep. I've decided against it.
Do it the natural way.
Yeah, do it the natural way. Panic yourself to sleep.
No, I feel forearmed. Remember, forewarned is forearmed.
I know, I know. I'm going to try and keep it relatively highbrow in relation to, you know, the amount and the quality of my autoerotic behavior.
Uh-huh.
Right now, since the handover of power, I always do that, since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 24. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. We hear the UN weapons inspectors are coming back. Hey, relax. Relax. You can keep your everyday guns. You remember these guys. They were looking for weapons of mass destruction for a long time. I know they didn't find any. I didn't say they did. This is going to be real easy for you. Just like last time, the inspectors will poke around, they'll ask some stupid questions, they'll run up a tab at the hotel bar. You see, they don't really care. They're stuck in Iraq just like you are. All right. There's only one thing you need to focus on while they're there. Listen to this very, very carefully. Make sure their cars don't blow up. I'm serious. It's a bad, bad idea, right? Because if that happens, it's going to be real easy to find weapons of mass destruction. They're going to be falling on your house, and they're not going to be yours. You understand? Don't blame me. All right. Look. Ooh, old school. I just work here. Just to recap, what do we need to remember about the weapons inspectors? Make sure their cars don't blow up. That's not even funny, all right? Nice energy. I want to say way to go, you guys. Good luck. God bless. This is day 24 in Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die. On the phone, listening to that,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure. Jonathan Atler is the senior editor. I'm sorry, Jonathan Alter. Sorry, I knew that. I knew it. Jonathan Alter is the senior editor for Newsweek magazine, and we are going to talk now, Ralph Nader, because we know this is loaded, and we know people are interested in this conversation. So, Jonathan, tell us, what is the difference between a spoiler and a viable third-party candidate?
I think in the way American politics has worked really for almost 100 years, at least since Theodore Roosevelt was the former president, ran as a third-party candidate mm-hmm. in 1912, and all the years since then, third-party candidates have been spoilers. There hasn't been a one of them who's had a chance to actually be elected president of the United States. Now, does that mean that they shouldn't have run, all those people? Does that mean that they were bad people? No, but we basically have a two-party system in this country, and when third-party candidates run, it tends to be, an expression of the energy of a movement, the expression of frustration over a particular issue, or somehow representing something that needs to be said. I think that's really the problem with Ralph Nader's campaign it's not that he's a spoiler, because all these guys are spoilers. It's that the spoiling could actually be consequential this time because the election might be so close, so he really could tip it, and the fact that basically even the people who are closest to him just don't want him to run. I mean, I should preface this by saying that more than 20 years ago, I actually worked for Ralph.
Uh-huh.
not for very long, but I've known him for a long time.
What was he doing then? What was he working on? What did you work on?
I was working on a book project about the 1980 presidential election.
Uh-huh.
He was also a third-party candidate, John Anderson.
John Anderson, sure.
I remember that guy.
And, you know, and I haven't been close to him, but I've admired a lot of what Ralph Nader has done over the years.
Yeah, great work.
Yeah, but what people have to understand is that the folks who are closest to him, much closer to him than I ever was, the
right.
people who worked around him for years, they do not want him to run. In other words, there's only a very, very, very small group of people
who are
directly associated with him. All the people who've worked with him for years think that this is just a nutty idea. That
there's too much at stake in this particular election. No one's arguing that you know what he represents and what he stands for is important. But, I mean, don't you get the feeling that with this particular president that anything that we can do to get him out should be done?
Well, I don't know if I'd say anything.
No, but you know what I mean. do you think that Nader spoiled the last election? Honestly.
Well, I think he helped to do it. You know, when I asked Nader about that at a panel in Texas last year, he got very upset and he said, "Well, Gore couldn't even carry his own state. You know, why is he blaming me? This is Gore's own fault." But you know, clearly, if Nader, even if he had just said a few days before the election, if we're in a battleground state, you know,
yeah.
don't vote for me. I tried to write that. I did write that before the 2000 election. I said that that's what he should do.
Right.
At that point, I can understand why he didn't. He didn't have any indication the election would necessarily be that close or that he would tip the balance. But this time around,
yeah,
he knew.
Right.
And so for him to run, he couldn't even get the Green Party support. Many of his supporters from the last time have peeled off. I don't think in the end he's going to get very many votes. And most important, I don't think he's necessarily raising, you know, important issues that are otherwise being neglected. So he's not even performing his traditional role.
Jonathan Alter is the senior editor for Newsweek magazine. Let me ask you about what we see unfolding in Michigan, where there are Republicans who have gone very public with their help in trying to get Ralph Nader's petitions circulated and filed. Doesn't this at some point put Ralph Nader in I guess, the category of every other politician who should be made to answer at some point how he could take help from people who seem to represent the antithesis of all he stood for?
Well, he's not really like every other politician. We gotta give him that. You know, and I've disagreed with him on a lot of different issues over the years, but one thing I have to say for him is he's not a politician.
No, but see,
but what he's doing in this case, I think, did cross a certain line, especially since he pledged that he wasn't going to do this. And he's always, one of his big calling cards has always been that he's whatever else you thought of him, he was honest. You know,
yeah.
And he told us that he was not going to do this, and now just in order to get on the ballot, he's hanging out with you know, Pat Buchananites and wealthy Republicans who are financing his you know, ballot projects in order to get on the ballot in Michigan and other states. And yeah, it's pretty reprehensible stuff, and it tarnishes his historic reputation. Here's a guy who, you know, helped bring us auto safety and a lot of other consumer protection ideas that have been very important in this country, and now he's just doing what he can to make sleazy deals with Republicans.
I'm sorry, we got to leave it at that. Jonathan Alter, thank you for being with us, senior editor for Newsweek magazine. Appreciate it. Yeah,
you take care.
Yeah, he had to go. He had to be somewhere. He told us. Well, that's it. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Here's today's Workers Independent News Service Dow Bob Report. I'm Jesse Russell. Since the U.S. Justice Department formed its Corporate Fraud Task Force 2 years ago, it has charged more than 700 people with corporate crimes. More than 300 so far have either been convicted or worked out plea deals that involved admissions of guilt. At first glance, this sounds impressive, but only a fraction of those convicted will actually serve any jail time. Most have either been heavily fined or given suspended sentences with probation that involves community service.
This Dow Bob report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the union for the information age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yow!
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service, it's about best value, it's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
I'm a war president. I want to be the peace president.
Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milfington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Dateline, Washington, July, Ivan Svansig. Legendary is George W. Bush's continuing war on brains. Still smarting from last month's outflanking maneuver by 48 Nobel Prize-winning brainiacs criticizing his administration, America's Kublai Khan suffers yet another attack, this time from a group of scientists and engineers for John Kerry. They're nom de guerre, scientists and engineers for John Kerry. In response, the Bush camp plans to do something so jejune, it's almost sinister in its feeble-minded simpliciosity. Release a book thanking President Bush, cleverly titled, Thank You, President Bush. This tedious tome will contain chapters from many well-known Republicans explaining why they actually like the president. John Ashcroft, Jeb Bush, Grover Norquist, and the Honorable Edwin Meese III are the ingredients of Thank You, Mr. President Bush. Our President Bush, his Xanadu, ignominious in its hubris, shameful in its folly. Here now is a sample from the Books on Tape version as read by the late great thespian Joseph Cotton.
Well, I don't think Charlie ever really knew the meaning of love. He just wanted everybody to love him. Love me, I'm Charles Foster Kane. Say, you wouldn't happen to have a cigar on you, would you? No, I didn't think so. Rosebud? Oh, yeah, that was Marion Davies' Punami.
Whoops! Wrong clip. Anyway, you get the message. Can any one book explain a man's life? The years of stupidity? No, I don't think so. The struggle continues, freedom fighters. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. And that's today's dispatch from
The War on Brains.
Stay with us. We'll be right back with more on Air America.
Look, kid, are you sure you want me to tattoo Air America Radio onto your forehead?
Yes, I do. Stop! Don't let this happen to you. Now you can let people know you're an Air America listener without painfully disfiguring yourself. Log on to airamericaradio.com and click on our Get the Gear banner for t-shirts, hats, boxer shorts, barbecue aprons, and more.
Ow! What's that address again?
That's airamericaradio.com. Where the air.
Hey. Okay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't look around. Just listen. It's me, the new Ford Focus. I see what you're driving there, and I gotta tell you, you deserve better. You deserve more power. I'm talking the kind of power that throws you back in your seat. Hmm? You deserve better handling, like the European-inspired suspension that sticks to the road like duct tape. That's what I'm talking about. So, how do you get everything you deserve? Drive me, the new Ford Focus.
More power, enhanced European suspension, Consumer Guide's Best Buy 4 years in a row. The new Ford Focus. It begs to be driven.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's word of a grisly find this morning in Saudi Arabia. Head of kidnapped American hostage Paul Johnson has been found in a freezer during a raid in a militant hideout in the Saudi capital. The brother of Paul Johnson had been critical of both the U.S. and Saudi governments for failing to find the body of his brother in recent weeks. 49-year-old engineer who was a native of New Jersey had worked in Saudi Arabia for over a decade. Johnson was kidnapped last month by militants who followed through on a threat to kill him if the kingdom did not release al-Qaeda prisoners. Iraqi Foreign Minister Hashir Zebari says Iraq's neighbors need to offer concrete help in making his country a safer place. Meeting of Iraq's neighboring countries is taking place today in Egypt. Zebari says although Iraq's neighbors have offered verbal support, they must take practical steps towards rooting out international terrorism. President Bush, on a campaign stump in Missouri yesterday, talked about the importance of separating the church from state. Bush has been taking criticism from many for what they believe is his mixing the two. His most recent outspoken critic on the issue is the son of the late Republican President Ronald Reagan. Yesterday, Bush, however, tried to make clear there is a difference.
The state should never be the church, and the church should never be the state. Now, having said that, I am inspired, uplifted, and comforted by the fact that millions of our fellow citizens, whom I will never know, actually take time to pray for me and Laura and our family, for which I am eternally grateful.
President Bush in Missouri yesterday, a new survey reveals that the United States will no longer be a majority Protestant nation in years to come because of a precipitous decline in affiliation with many Protestant churches. Survey says the share of Americans who said they were Protestant dropped from 63% to 52%, this after years of remaining generally stable. Survey was conducted by the National Opinion Research Center at the University of Chicago. Music and fashion mogul Sean P. Diddy Combs is getting ready to embark on a new challenge, that is mobilizing the young minority vote for the 2004 presidential election. Combs, the creator of Bad Boy Entertainment and Sean John Clothing, launched Citizens for Change yesterday, which he hopes will attract a record number of voters to the polls on November 2nd. Combs believes his constituents, the so-called forgotten ones, will ultimately make the difference in the contest, which pegs Bush and Kerry neck and neck at the moment. Combs plans to enlist the voters through a number of television ads on MTV and Black Entertainment Television. He declined to say just how much the effort will cost. The private organization that clears hospitals across the country receive Medicare payments has missed most problems later identified by state inspectors. This according to a new survey. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
I was scared to death signing lease, I tell you that.
Who's going to help us do this? Realtor. It's like we have to have a trained professional that's going to go out and look for exactly what we want.
Whether you pay utilities or whether you don't.
If I were looking for another property, I wouldn't do it without a commercial realtor. I don't have the expertise.
When you're ready to lease or buy a commercial property, ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
I could just turn it over to her and that it would be done and be done correctly.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the word you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One Player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Yes, yes. Yes, it is Wednesday morning, and I feel all right. You feel all right, Riley?
I feel great.
I'm so happy I feel all right. I was worried, because like a lot of times on Wednesday, I feel like I've been bonked.
Well, it's hump day. It's, you know, you've got two more days left. You've already done 2 days out of the week. And maybe, it seems long.
Yeah, maybe I locked in, though. Maybe I'm okay with the, 10 minutes of sleep a night.
We're zoned and focused.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, I think you adapt to that. My dad used to do that. He used to wake up, get like 3 or 4 hours of sleep.
I woke up 2 hours early, and I thought it would really, really throw me off. Because, you know, you wake up, I thought I saw 2:10 a.m., and it turned out it was only 12:10 a.m. So then I ended up sitting for like 2 hours stewing in the bed because... You know, I figured if I went back to sleep, it'd be like 7 a.m. by the time I woke up, and you'd be here by yourself.
Yeah, you get into that weird state of mind where you're like, as long as I'm in bed with my eyes closed, that counts a little bit.
Yeah, that counts as sleep.
It's not real sleep, but it counts. So here's a couple of things. Here's some articles I've been kicking around. Apparently, crystal meth is bad for you.
No.
Who would have known?
No.
Can you believe it? The first high-resolution MRI study of methamphetamine addicts shows a forest fire of brain damage.
Addicts?
Like
how do they define addicts?
Well, this was the weird thing here. Let's see. The Brain Center. The study examined 22 people in their 30s who had used methamphetamine for 10 years, mostly by smoking it, and 21 Ooh. Controls matched for age. On the average, the addicts used an average of 4 grams a week and said they had been high on 19 of the 30 days before the study began and awake for 29.
Ooh.
Can you smoke and crank? That's like melting your brain. It's literally melting your brain.
Don't most people know that? Those must be the only 22 crankheads in America.
But smoking it, I mean, can you believe it? And apparently it just like completely levels your desire centers. It levels your memory centers. It levels everything, which is sad because you're up and you got a lot of time.
You
can plug yourself directly into the TV because you're not going to get much work done.
What'd you say?
Exactly.
No, man. Not. But see, is it fair? Let me not make it sound like I'm going on a pro-drug rant here. But is it fair to judge crank use by people who smoke it?
You know, crank, you know, it's weird. I always used to say that it's a great drug for the first hour. It's what you do with the other 70 that becomes
a problem, yeah. Ooh, my head hurts. Yeah, I know.
And there's another piece of news. Four students with learning disabilities sue over medical school admission test. All right. Four medical school applicants with learning disabilities sued the Association of American Medical Colleges on Monday, saying it discriminated against them by not allowing them extra time and other accommodations on the medical college admissions test. All right. Now, I don't want to seem insensitive. We certainly don't want to...
But go ahead. Seem it.
Not toe the liberal agenda. But I think that, you know, we better define, you know, what learning disabilities means here. I mean, we're talking about people in medical school.
Yeah, right? I know.
You know, I understand that some people have... I mean, maybe, you know, apparently it's dyslexia, or maybe someone has attention deficit disorder. But even that, I mean, we're talking about doctors. Do you know what I mean? You don't want someone to be in there. Scalpel. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you don't want people to lose their train of thought. Guess what? We got the test back, and you're positive for VIH.
Oh,
what does that mean?
You know,
but I
you are no good. No, you're going to hell.
It's a slippery slope, man. I mean, it's like...
It's a slippery slope to hell where you're going, too. I'll tell you that right now. VIH.
Okay, let me test it. Okay, let me rephrase it. Wow, you're out of the woods. Guess what? You're VIH negative.
Negative, yeah,
is
right.
Is that better?
That's better.
But I just think it's a strange thing that this is...
Would they have to disclose that? I mean, if they ever hang out a shingle somewhere, would they have to tell their patients that, you know, look, I have a slight problem?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the thing. Does it go on your diploma?
Yeah. Yeah, MD and ADD.
MD, ADD.
Oh, that's cool. Is there an asterisk on your on the thing you hang up in your office?
Well, there's a lawsuit here. The lawsuit filed in the state court in California seeking class action status. This case will have national implications, blah, 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 blah. We want the court to address this before the next MCAT is offered next month. These individuals are absolutely sandbagged by the denial of accommodations. They had recommendations throughout their careers when they took the SAT and in college. This is to be a doctor, you know. Yes. It's not, you know. It's pretty specific. I mean, you better, you know, set some parameters on, you know, what learning disabilities can be, you know, integrated and accommodated into being a doctor. You just don't want someone going la la la.
Oh, now see.
Look what I found in him.
Now, by the way, the information comes from the Chronicle of Higher Education.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying, all right? There has to be. Some
there ought to be limits, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I think so. I
as to who can become a doctor.
But I mean, how can? Can you imagine how it would affect your malpractice insurance? It's like it's one.
What
thing
malpractice insurance? Like, you're not getting any malpractice insurance now.
Just to be a doctor, it costs, you know, like $250,000 a year to insure yourself. Could you imagine, like, do you have any other problems? Well, I'm dyslexic. It's like, well you're going to have to get a...
Here, put a 1 point in
and
front
I'm
of it.
I'm not making fun of dyslexic people. They've made tremendous progress in this country. I think some of our presidents have been dyslexic. I have a friend who's dyslexic. I might even be Tom Cruise, a dyslexic Scientologist. That's pretty impressive. But I don't even know why I said that. But nonetheless, I know I'm going to...
Are you saying the president is dyslexic? Our current president?
No, he might be retarded.
Well, now see, you weren't going to use that word anymore.
Mentally
here
jealous,
come the bloggers jealous. On you, all right? And you brought it on yourself.
But I didn't say he was a retard.
You said he was retarded.
I know, but...
What do you think the difference is? You think he's going to say retard like that's a musical term?
You know what's sad is that he thought that people would...
I'm a war president.
Forget that and only hear this.
I want to be the peace president.
And I'm thinking that the people that I promised not to say retarded or retard to are going to forget. I apologize. I was acting in a retarded way.
Well, hey, you know, now, I don't know if our president is retarded, guy that has ADD, or...
How about we just say mentally challenged and evil? Can we say that? Evil?
I thought that was Dick Cheney.
Well, let's talk about that guy. That guy is the personification of evil, as we've discussed before.
Well, yeah, and actually we're going to be talking with someone later on. Robert Bryce, who wrote the Salon.com story today on Dick Cheney. But Bush has made a promise. You know, I guess if this were advertising, if he puts this in advertising, in his television advertising, could he be sued for, you know, false advertising?
What, you mean this?
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
What? Is that a flip-flop?
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
Yeah, right? And he says he's going to make the nation safer in 4 years.
Yeah, and he says, you know, he's not a lawyer, but...
We're a nation of law. We adhere to laws. We have laws on the books. You might look at those laws, and that might provide comfort for you.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president. Next.
Next. Wow, that was nice, man. That was a real, you know, giving you that machine was a good thing.
I'm getting the
hang
of it.
Not like Larson said.
It's getting less.
Yeah. There you go. Well, is he a war president? Is he a peace president? Back in February, George W. Bush told Tim Russert on Meet the Press that he had the eye of the tiger.
I'm a war president. I make decisions here in the Oval Office in foreign policy matters with war on my mind.
Listen to
war
the tone.
On my mind.
Listen to the tone. War on my mind. Isn't that a Glenn Campbell song? Listen to the tone of what he's saying. He's trying to sell. You know, he really thought that was going to appeal to people.
Yeah. Well, and see, for a while, people bought it. Remember, his approval ratings were high when he ran that, you know, and they've been sliding downhill ever since. Now, on his latest campaign swing, now we're talking about as recently as yesterday, George W. Bush is singing a different tune when it comes to the type of president he wants to be.
The enemy declared war on us, and you just got to know, nobody wants to be the war president.
Hold on a minute.
I thought be the peace president.
Yeah, but I thought
I'm a war president.
That sounded pretty confident. It sounded like you wanted to be.
I'm a war president.
And now we're.
I want to be the peace president.
Well, put on some beads, Mister, and start dancing. That's
right.
What I say. I want to see a peace symbol on Bush. I want him to grow his hair out a little bit. If he wants to be the peace president, I demand that he looks like part of the peace movement from the late 60s.
And I think you ought to go visit Yoko Ono, who's still here in Manhattan.
Yeah, just to say, you know, hello.
All we are saying is give peace a chance.
And I think he should march with the NAACP. I think he should march with the... I think that he should turn everything around. If he's going to call himself a peace president, I want to see action.
Well, you know, there is the group that's protesting the Republican convention is United for Peace and Justice. If he's the peace president, he ought to go out on the West Side Highway, not bother with going to Madison Square Garden with the rest of the Republicans, go out to the highway and commune with his peaceful brothers and sisters.
Just the image of that is so beautiful. It's so hilarious and perfect. We'll be right back on Air America Radio.
There was dirt, water, and air, and it was good. Once, Planet Check.
Good news for diesel. Engine companies are developing a sit-trap filtering system so we can all breathe a little easier.
That is exactly what those environmentalists should be spending their time on.
Richard Castle, director of National Vehicle and Fuels Project for the NRDC, explains.
This is a story of government, public interest community, industry, and state and local air pollution officials all working together to solve a problem, and it's clearly working.
The EPA report shows that all the engine companies are on track to meeting the 2007 deadline.
That's great news for anybody who breathes. The fuels will be cleaner and the diesel trucks and buses will be cleaner in a few years, and that's a great news story.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
If you're tired of dealing with glasses or contacts but have been concerned about the price of LASIK, now you can get the best of both worlds. That's right. TLC Laser Eye Centers is offering no payments for 12 months. That means you can have exceptional LASIK, TLC's lifetime commitment, and skilled surgeons at a price you can manage from one of the leaders in laser vision correction. More than 500,000 eyes have trusted TLC for the LASIK procedure, including thousands of eye doctors and Tiger Woods.
After 5 years and more than 35 worldwide wins, I'm still as happy as ever with my TLC Laser Eye Center's experience. I'm 20/20 with no contacts.
Yeah, that Tiger Woods. To take advantage of this limited, no-payment-for-12-month offer, call TLC at 800-300-7509. Some restrictions may apply. In fact, call today for all the details. That's 800-300-7509.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and they include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
This is going to be good, man. We're going to talk to Salon.com's Robert Bryce, and he's got some info on Cheney. Flesh some of this stuff out for us and about the new Halliburton subpoena from France, right?
Yeah.
Right now, though, from earlier, my buddy Johnny Joe Jerry Ramone got the presidential Palm Pilot download from the Oval Office. Here's the president's schedule for today. 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. I'm a peace president. Or is it I'm a war president? I get confused. Call Cheney. 8:40 a.m. Call broker. Invest $5 million in biotech stock through Dummy Cayman Island Corporation. 9:40 a.m. Sign $5.2 billion BioShield Act of 2004. Martha, that's how the big boys do it. 10:10 a.m. Photo op with living members and spouses of the 11 Apollo space missions. Fun idea. Have photo taken on movie set where we fake the moon landing. That's still item. 2:25 p.m. Meet with Prime Minister of Romania. Assure him that the United States is committed to fighting the war on vampires. There you go. 4:30 p.m. Get briefing on the results of tomorrow's 9/11 Commission report. Then go to usual spin mode. Elevate terror code. Blame the CIA. Schedule last-minute campaign visit to Guam for a week or so. Hang out with Evan Cohen. 7:15 p.m. Speak at President's Dinner. Or given the 7:15 speak at President's Dinner, or given the recent polls, the Last Supper. Yes. 9 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thought. Headline. Quote, U.S. invades Iran. Macho war president hailed by adoring citizens. Oh, my God. That felt like it took forever. All right. Here we go. Right now, our guest... whose piece can be read on Salon.com, Halliburton's Boss from Hell, is Robert Bryce. Good morning, Robert.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I'm so excited you're here, because yeah, I happen to think that Dick Cheney is evil incarnate and you know, just an explosive, horrible man. You?
Well, I think with this piece, it's, you know, what I found was that when you look at Dick Cheney's record in business, he does something that I thought was really hard to do, and that is that he makes George W.'s business record look really good.
Oh, man. So what policies did Cheney implement that are coming now under investigation?
Well, virtually everything that Cheney did when he was the CEO of Halliburton has turned out to be just absolutely terrible. I mean, you know, whether it's the investigation that the French are now doing in Nigeria on the big LNG project, or the acquisition of Dresser Industries, which you know, Cheney engineered, or, you know, just this news that came out on Monday, the Justice Department, or Halliburton revealed that the Justice Department has begun a criminal investigation into the company in connection with the operations of one of its subsidiaries in Iran, and that it's gotten a subpoena from a federal grand jury that is now seeking documents to see whether, in fact, the Halliburton had violated U.S. laws in dealing with the Iranians.
So that's an American subpoena.
That's right.
And this is for the Cayman Islands operation that they were doing work in Iran when that was illegal to do.
That's right. And that was the office. See, in early 2000, this Halliburton subsidiary opened an office in Tehran. This is the Cayman Islands-based subsidiary.
Hmm.
So you have, during Cheney's tenure, you have Halliburton dealing directly with Iraq, Libya,
During the sanctions, Robert?
Yes, during the sanctions. So Cheney was saying throughout, we never did that, or, you know, and also he even lobbied against the sanctions. But, it's just remarkable. At the end of last month, Halliburton had also announced that they were taking an $815 million charge against earnings. Well, $600 million of that is because of this disastrous takeover of Dresser, which came with all these asbestos liabilities, and the other is $200 million for an offshore project that Halliburton had bid on in Brazil that's already it's costing them now close to $1 billion more than what they had predicted.
Incredible. Robert Bryce, when we talk about a subsidiary on the Cayman Islands, a lot of people, I think, figure you're looking at a tax dodge kind of situation. How can Cheney and how can Halliburton say with a straight face that because this Cayman Islands subsidiary isn't based in the U.S., that they've put up a big enough firewall to shield themselves from responsibility for violating the law here?
Well, that's exactly what the feds are looking at. Did this subsidiary deal? Was it just a shell company that was actually engineered through either Dallas or Houston to export then materials and services then to the Iranians? The law that was passed, the Iran-Libya Act that prevents American companies from dealing directly with these countries that state-sponsored terrorism. The rule says you cannot have direct involvement, right? So these companies are setting up, for instance, when Halliburton did business in Iraq, they did it through a French subsidiary.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question, is how much control did the Halliburton folks in Texas have over these exports that were then ending up in Libya or in the case of this subpoena in Iran?
Is there, Robert Bryce, and I don't think this is limited to Texas by any stretch of the imagination, but is there a sort of big oil mentality that sort of seems to say just about anything goes? I mean, I was, when I first heard about the deal that these two guys from Halliburton, I believe it was Halliburton, when they copped to that thing with running gas from Kuwait into Iraq, I'm saying to myself, like, my God, how do these guys get away? And they were skimming profits. How do these guys think they can get away with this sort of thing? Cheney, in this case, would just cut ties with Halliburton and be done with it, but he's not, because it seems like he wants the money. Is it really that laissez-faire, that anything goes?
Well, in all of this, I've been writing about politics for a long time. The thing that, leaves me slack-jawed is that why Cheney? When, after Bush says, look, run on the ticket and fine, he has this deferred compensation deal,
mm-hmm.
Which has paid him now over $350,000 over the last couple of years.
Is that legal?
And apparently it is.
Huh.
Why he wouldn't say, I'm cutting all ties.
And yeah.
Instead, it's either just an incredible stupidity or incredible hubris, and I'm not
right.
sure which it is. But it just leaves me absolutely dumbfounded that he could be that politically tone deaf and think that it wouldn't become an issue when Halliburton has so many federal contracts. And that up until that time, over his less than 5 years as Halliburton's CEO, he'd been paid $45 million.
Oh, my God. That's he almost owns the country, that guy.
Yeah. Now, Robert, we're looking at a situation where we're talking about the Vice President of the United States during an election year. Is it your judgment that these whispers won't get loud enough to push Cheney out the door? For health reasons, you understand.
Oh, my heart. Oh,
yeah.
My leg. Oh, it's my foot. Well, I don't think that the Bushes are gonna drop him in the grease here. I don't think that that's not been their history. They have this whole code of loyalty thing that has become a major issue for all of them. I mean, look, they didn't fire Rumsfeld or get rid of anybody at the Defense Department after the Abu Ghraib scandal.
Yeah, Rumsfeld seems to have disappeared on his own volition.
He's hiding with Cheney somewhere.
Yeah, right.
But no, I mean, it is. I don't think that Cheney is going to be off the ticket. I think that he's clearly going to. They're going to stick with him because if they didn't, I think it would be an indication. Oh, we think something's wrong, and that's been their attitude throughout. Is we're going to brazen this out no matter how bad it gets.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it, Robert Bryce. It was great talking to you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet. Take care.
You can see his piece on Salon.com. Yeah, I guess.
And we got a link, by the way, on MorningSedition.com directly to his story.
I guess Dick Cheney won't be off the ticket unless something bad happens to him.
Now, wait a minute, Dan. Don't get accused of threatening the Vice President of the United States.
But, Mark, don't accuse me.
Well, you know, we already had one air personality on this network being accused of, you know, threatening somebody.
Now,
by a bunch of wackos.
Just
though.
Making suggestions.
Yeah, there you go. Still to come, the presidential daily briefing, the liberal agenda direct from the compound of you-know-who, and we'll take your phone calls.
866-303-2270.
This is Air America Radio.
Intelligent people live everywhere. People like you and me, interested in art, film, politics, and culture. So why doesn't Hollywood think so? Hi, I'm Larry Meistrich, founder of Film Movement and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. More importantly, I'm a busy father of three who lives in the suburbs. Most quality independent and foreign films don't open in a theater near you, especially if you live outside of New York or Los Angeles. Should you be culturally punished for having a backyard? I created Film Movement for anyone who wants to see films other than the blockbusters playing at your local multiplex. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive a new film to own on DVD by signing up at AirAmericaRadio.com. It's like getting the best of Cannes and Sundance delivered to your door each month. Subscribe to AirAmericaRadio.com and receive one of my favorite films, O.T. Our Town, for free. O.T. Our Town is a documentary about the power of education in America. It is a film that deserves to be seen by everyone. Choose to see films that matter. Subscribe to Film Movement today at AirAmericaRadio.com and help support Air America.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The head of a New Jersey native who was abducted and executed in Saudi Arabia has been found in a freezer. The Saudi Interior Ministry says the discovery was made during a raid on a militant hideout in the Saudi capital. Former President Bill Clinton has come to the defense of his national security advisor, saying Sandy Berger has always got things right. He thinks the Justice Department probe of Berger is a bit of a joke because anyone who knows Berger and been to his office knows he's always buried under papers. He's accused of taking classified terrorism documents now missing from the National Archives. 9/11 Commission's final report has some tough things to say about intelligence lapses, but it won't insist America's worst ever terror attack could have been prevented. And Microsoft, with more than $50 billion in its arsenal, has announced that it would bestow on its shareholders a special one-time dividend of $3 a share, a payout of $32 billion. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
The Air America phones are ringing off the hook.
The Republicans are so concerned about the sanctity of marriage. Why are they not concerned about reality television exploiting it for entertainment value?
Everyone's calling Air America Radio.
There are a lot of things that y'all stand for that I don't.
and it chaps my butt to be taken for granted that I'm going to vote Republican.
866-303-AAR0. Call and let it rip.
Yes, Morning Sedition, 866-303-2270. I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley.
Hey!
Now, big Morning Sedition goodbye to Sanford in West Orange, New Jersey, who writes, I really don't care about Mark Maron's dating history or his Ben and Jerry's eating habits. Stick to the issue. Otherwise, I will turn you off, as I did this morning twice. What is he talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. Twice he turned us off. Twice, but he came. But why are they still talking about goodbye, Sanford? Have fun in New Jersey.
And say goodbye to your son, too.
Yeah. All right. Now, what else? We got some interesting mail coming in. We got a call from Rye, New York. Madonna, how are you, Madonna?
Hello, Madonna.
Hello.
Hello. What's up?
I am very, very annoyed at your ignorance and insensitivity about learning disabled people.
I just think that if they're going to become doctors, that
Excuse
they should
me.
Be able
to... You don't know anything about what learning disabled people are capable of. Just because they can't take a test doesn't mean they can't be a doctor.
But they're the ones who said they need help to help get into medical school. I mean,
they don't
there be
need
some
help. They need more time. Time to take a test. That's all they were talking about, time to take a test.
But what about surgery? What about giving tests? What about difficult situations in the operating room?
Well,
what
it's time all about? Different. It all has to do with processing.
But I think
you know
I said that. I think
would,
I said that.
And you sat there laughing.
I think I
laughing
said
Laughing about a disability. Would you laugh if someone came in there who couldn't walk? Would you laugh at someone who was diabetic? It's
I don't
no
think
different.
That's what I was saying. I was talking specifically about certain mental disabilities. I wasn't laughing. Laughing at people with disabilities. I was placed. I don't think so. I think that there should be some parameters drawn up if you're going to have people with learning disabilities operating on other people. And
I think that you ought to know what you're talking about before you talk about
it. Blah, 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 blah.
Thank you for your call, Madonna. I appreciate it. Unbelievable.
Now, see, we're laughing again.
Where's the sense of humor on these people?
Well,
you know what I mean? It's like, that's not what I was doing. If you need to ask for more time on a medical school test, you know, maybe you should think of a different profession. Doctor might not be it. Sometimes there isn't time. Stat! You know what I mean? What are we going to do? I mean, it's like, you know, I'm not talking about everybody that has mental disabilities. I'm not mad at people who have mental disabilities. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but come on. All right? Come on.
Okay.
Here's I got a piece of email from someone. All right, about the same topic.
How dare you?
As a dyslexic myself, in parentheses, thank God for spell check. I have to say that if you can't pass the damn entrance exam without special help, then I don't want your rubber gloved hand up my ass. I didn't say it. Oh,
good
man. All right, so moving on. Chris in Connecticut. Chris,
what's up?
Sounds like you need a second proctologist all of a sudden.
What's up,
how
man?
How are you? You know how this president has made the following phrase very popular? Well, at least Nixon did such and such.
Right.
Like, we miss Nixon all of a sudden as a link.
Right.
Maybe Mark Riley can talk about this because he's in the right age bracket to have a clearer recollection than either you or I, Mark.
Yeah.
I think so.
Nixon got rid of Agnew.
That's true.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that
Why?
That
Why?
And he was indicted.
Well, that's what's going on with Cheney, though.
Huh?
Cheney's been indicted.
Well, you know, Agnew, by the way, pleaded the. This is the first time I
In
knew
France.
What this was. Nolo contendere. You know what that means?
That means he was guilty as all
no
hell.
No contest, baby.
Right.
Yeah, and I forgot exactly what it was. It was some foolishness he did when he was in Maryland.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, Agnew was the he was the Dick Cheney of his time, running around calling liberal
but
something.
Not, yeah, but not nearly as powerful or as interconnected into the global business community. That's for sure.
No, not connected into the global business community, but he was at the forefront of the culture wars, such as they were at that time.
Right, right,
you know?
Right.
Oh, Effete Snobs, I think he called them.
And he was
liberal.
A meanie too. He was like a real like. You
oh,
know,
he was take no
ass.
Prisoners. He
yeah,
was
yeah,
a,
yeah,
he
yeah.
was a take no prisoners vice president.
Some people don't know. I got to explain that our vice president Cheney or their vice president.
Yes.
Was indicted in France for some criminal.
I don't know if he has been. I believe he's about to be. If this is about the Nigerian thing, then he is about to be. I don't think he has been
indicted.
That's
right. So there's an indictment on the table.
On the table. Possible.
It's
coming
been
up
drawn
soon.
Up. Yeah. All right, here we go. Lucy in New York. How are you, Lucy?
What's up, Lucy?
Lucy?
Hello.
I
have something fantastic to tell you about.
So please.
Very exciting.
I'll actually listen to you say anything.
Yes.
All right. Good. I'm going for it. We have an old school bus that we've turned into the most amazing art car. It looks like an American Eagle.
Okay.
Flying through the air. And my friend Corey, little girl, very, very sexy little girl, is driving across the entire United States spelling out the word vote. And in the school bus, uh-huh. It looked kicking.
Okay.
And,
wow.
10,000 miles. Man.
Okay, all right.
And we're doing totally nonpartisan voter registration, and we're leaving from Times Square tomorrow.
Okay.
And tonight, we're doing all of this out of our own pockets, and at night, we've been painting under this bridge in Silver Cup Studios.
Oh, I know where that is, right?
Wait a minute, that's by Marin's house.
It is.
Is it? Have you seen us under
the
bridge?
No, you're right under the bridge.
Nobody'd like to.
I'll have a look.
Welding, and it's got wings and a beak. It looks really cool.
But that's wild.
We're starting with a fundraiser tonight so that we can, maybe put our credit cards back into some kind of decent shape.
What's the fundraiser? Where's it at?
The fundraiser, we're doing a bus crawl. Instead of a bar crawl, we're doing a bus crawl around Manhattan.
Okay.
And we're going to start at American Trash on the Upper East Side.
American Trash on the Upper East Side.
Go down to Red Rock West. We're going to go down to No Idea.
No Idea, that's a place, or you just...
No Idea, no, it's a place. It's a bar.
Okay. It's a
like
bar,
20th
yeah.
and Park. And then then we're going to Antarctica after No Idea.
Lucy, you're not driving, are you?
No, I'm not driving. Hey, I can't even vote, dude.
She used the D word. You used the D word. You from London?
When I use the D word in London, they're like, listen, mate.
Mate, there you go, or governor,
Betty. I'm not your dude, mate.
Which football team do you support?
Football, Sheffield Wednesday, mate.
Oh, okay.
Now she used the word mate.
I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm wearing my Arsenal. Oh, no, I don't have
an Arsenal. La, like Arsenal's rubbish.
Thank you for calling us, Lucy.
Thank you, man.
You take care, Lucy.
Yeah, love what you're doing. Love your show. Thanks
so much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
She was great.
Lucy.
I'm going to go under the bridge and look at the bus later, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 866-303-2270.
Is that the same bus that they use in Cheech and Chong?
Might be. 866-303-2270. We'll talk to you in a minute on Air America Radio.
If you could cut your mortgage payment by 45%, would that make a difference to you? If you're like most people, it could make a difference of hundreds of dollars a month and thousands of dollars a year. That's why the home loan experts at Quicken Loans created the revolutionary new Smart Choice Interest Only Loan. It's the flexible mortgage that can lower your payment up to 45%. Homeowners are calling Quicken Loans at 800-655-3911 to discover the difference for themselves. If you have a mortgage, you can't afford not to call. You could see a dramatic drop in your payment, even if you've recently refinanced. Call 1-800-655-3911 to see how Quicken Loans can lower your house payment up to 45%. Quicken Loans is an equal housing lender, licensed mortgage banker, New York State Banking Department. In today's economy, you can't afford to wait. See the difference Quicken Loans can make for you. Call Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts, 800-655-3911. That's 800-655-3911.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Crazy, man. Crazy. Hey, Lucy. Lucy in the bus under the bridge by Silver Cup. Call us back. We want to get you on the line as you travel across the country and check in with us. We all just became sort of
Lucy fans.
And, yeah, very quickly. 866-303-2270 for anybody else who wants to call. Now it's I got to do this. It's time to look at the presidential daily briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled Voices in the Head of State. Mr. President, it's come to our attention that you've made the following statements.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
That's what's known as a contradiction, something that happens every time you open your mouth lately. In light of your recent falling poll numbers, you seem to be grasping at straws, and even the straws are rejecting you. This month you actually said God speaks through you, so by our count, you now have three. So by our count, you now have three voices inside your head. Having three voices in there doesn't make you three times more interesting or three times more effective. It just makes people three times more nervous.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
We suggest that the three of you sit down and hammer out one coherent message, and then we suggest all three of you take separate vacations.
Ooh.
How would that be?
Next.
Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. I'm sorry I rushed you that, but I got emails flying in. I got people on the phone.
Uh-oh.
Email. My husband, a doctor, agrees that a person with a learning disability probably should not be a doctor. He can just go be president. I'm applying to medical school, and I agree with you. The test is timed for a reason. Being a doctor is stressful and requires quick decisions. Also, if they get extra time, I want it also.
You don't know what you're talking about.
My three-year-old son has a learning disability, and there's no way I'd let him operate on me.
Until he was 22.
And then these are all emails. And here I got another one. Mr. Moron, you are not funny. You are a moron. That, of course, from whoever.
Madonna.
Mr. Moron, you're not. I've never heard that one before, the moron one. Moron. David on listening to LIB. How are you?
Hey, David.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. Good.
I just wanted to say I'm actually right now studying for the bar exam, and I couldn't agree with you both about the minimum standards of certain professions and, more importantly, the expectations of clients and patients.
Right.
You know, I'm on an operating table or, you know, I mess up a case. You know, they don't get second chances, and that's what they come to you for.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like it's weird. I'm not saying that learning people with learning disabilities shouldn't work or have a full life. I'm not trying to discourage people with learning disabilities. Just, you know, pick a job suitable to your limitations, as anyone would do. Like, I'm not a doctor. It's my dad was a doctor. I'm not, you know, an engineer. My learning disability is I'm completely and utterly lazy and full of spite. So,
he becomes a talk show host.
It's good you can admit that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a level playing field. That's all we're looking for. Thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it. Okay, what do we got? Oh, Mike in New Jersey. How are you, Mike?
What's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. For Mark Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Agnew's famous term was nabobs of negativism.
That's it. Nattering nabobs of negativism.
And also, where Mr. Rumsfeld is, I think he's standing in front of the vault, guarding the vault that has the new Abu Ghraib tapes.
Yeah,
the original ones look like a trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the tapes that were referred to, I believe, by Seymour Hersh from The New Yorker.
With the sodomy?
Yeah.
The sodomy tapes?
Yeah. Now, I don't know that anyone has produced them. They're not on the Internet as yet that I know of. Seymour Hersh, I believe, in a speech, made reference to the fact that there are tapes showing some really, really awful, criminal. Maybe that's just the least of it.
Yeah, I'd like to see, like, if they have tapes, man, if they're hiding tapes of American soldiers, you know, sodomizing Iraqi children, either with, you know, objects or, you know, God forbid, with anything.
Anything.
I'd like to hear Rush Limbaugh dismiss it as some sort of frat prank. And then if he does, I'd like to ask what frat he went to.
Yeah.
866-303-2270 is the number. I got to take this call. Dan, this is what's interesting. In New York, what's up?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, man.
This one's from Mark Maron. I know you're a big rapture conspiracy buff.
Yeah, what is it, man?
Well, all this talk about, you know, the learning disability issue has gotten me thinking about No Child Left Behind. And I don't know if this has been brought up before, but it occurred to me that maybe what Bush really intends is for the entire public education system to collapse, send all the kids into religious private schools, and there would really be no child left behind.
They're ready to go. Thank you for your call. That's an interesting theory. The intentional dumbifying of children in order to brainwash them into the theocratic troops.
Well, you know, people have argued that Bush really doesn't have an interest in educating poor children, regardless of race, because they want to make sure they have a steady supply of people going to the military.
Right.
Now, that really, you know, stereotypes the military. Let's be clear about that. But bottom line here, are there many other options for kids who may not want to go to college, who may not be have been properly educated through school? Where are they going?
Cubicle cold calling.
Yep.
That's where it's going. Here's a disturbing bit of press, a little story that's not obviously not as bad as Abu Ghraib because it's not our species.
Uh-oh.
But an investigator for an animal rights group captured video of chickens being kicked, stomped, and thrown against the wall by workers at a supplier for Kentucky Fried Chickens. It's a chicken Abu Ghraib situation. PETA says its investigator also obtained eyewitness testimony about employees ripping birds' beaks off, spray painting their faces, twisting their heads off, spitting tobacco into their mouths and eyes, and breaking them in half, all while the birds are still alive. And, of course, Pilgrim Pride spokesman Ray Atkinson said the company is appalled by what it saw in the video, has reopened a previous investigation into complaints of the chicken mistreatment, and will fire any employees who are found to have violated company policies on animal welfare.
Chicken mistreatment. Well, yeah. You would think maybe, like, killing them is the ultimate chicken mistreatment.
Yeah, but, like, it's not bad.
Serving them up on a plastic plate in a stinking restaurant.
What do they think they're going to get? What kind of information are going to get out of these chickens? I mean, what do they think they're going to, you know, what do they want from these chickens? It just shows the kind of hate available for no good reason.
Lindy! Oh, no.
And from what I hear, many of the chickens involved in this, innocent.
Innocent,
yeah,
that's right.
They just got caught up in these sweeps that they do.
Sweeps of the crack eggs.
Innocent chickens, you know, being beat up. And I don't. Are we going to take more calls after this? Okay, stay on the line. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 2004. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
What happened to you? You look different.
I had the Diamond Vision Miracle.
The Diamond Vision Miracle? What's that?
Now I can see 20/20 without glasses or contact lenses.
I bet that's a relief.
A relief? It's a huge life change. It's a miracle.
It's time for you to be free of glasses and contact lenses through the miracle of bladeless LASIK from Diamond Vision. Diamond Vision is the number one LASIK practice in the tri-state area, with 6 convenient locations. And with customized bladeless LASIK, you can have sharper day and night vision than ever before. In fact, Diamond Vision has performed more custom view bladeless procedures than any other practice in the tri-state area. And they were the first center to teach this state-of-the-art technology. Don't wait to see all that you can see. Schedule your free consultation online at diamondvision.org or call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020. Also, take advantage of their exclusive 24-month free financing. Call 1-800-984-2020. That's 1-800-984-2020.
What was that miracle again? The Diamond Vision Miracle.
Call 1-800-984-2020.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service, it's about best value, it's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
This thing down. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley over there. It's Air America Radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Seem to have rustled some feathers out there. Let's take a couple quick calls, and maybe we can hit that story you want to hit there, Mark. Dan in New Jersey, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Dan? How you doing?
I just wanted to say it's going to take me a little while to make my point because I am learning disabled, so just give me about an extra 10 minutes, if you could.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you stay on the line and tell the producer to answer the phone?
Oh. Hey, how disappointing is it going to be when you go down to meet Lucy and she's about 4 feet tall and weighs 700 pounds?
Right. Hey, can a guy dream, man?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Thanks for your call, buddy.
Hey.
So you want to hit that story, Mark?
I'm looking for it.
Okay, well, then let's take another call.
Yeah, another call.
Scott,
I'm going to find
in Columbus,
it.
Ohio.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys.
What's
how
up?
You doing?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Hey, we've got a group of Christian men taking over Columbus this week. They're protesting at abortion clinics and our gay community center.
Oh, my
and,
God.
I'm just trying to figure out why they're all men. Why are there women aren't there, too, protesting against abortion?
Because they're driven by fear of you.
Yep, exactly. So, anyway, we just want to let you know Columbus is a great place to be, and we love all people, and so we don't really appreciate the fact that they're here with us. So.
To minimize some at the expense of others. Yeah, I mean, can you set up get a protest going or what?
Yeah, there have been some counter-protesters there, too, and it's been really great. But we really appreciate what you're doing, and thanks for being on the air, guys.
All right, thanks for coming.
Take care.
I appreciate it.
And, you know, will people just leave folks alone? I mean, God. Anyway, this particular story, 5 years ago, for those of you who don't know, there was a discrimination settlement entered into by the United States Department of Agriculture and a group of black farmers. Well, now 5 years after the fact, those black farmers are going back to the well saying that the Department of Agriculture has failed to make good on the terms of that settlement, denying restitution to about 90% of the farmers seeking compensation and spending millions to thwart their claims. These are folks who were routinely discriminated against when it came to farm supports and that sort of thing from the Department of Agriculture. Back in the 20s, there were literally hundreds of thousands of black farmers. I think they're down to like 30,000 now nationwide.
Wow.
And, you know, they're getting sucked into the whole agribusiness thing. You know, people come down, offer money, not
to grow things.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, offer money for their farm so the big business can
buy them out.
Yeah, buy them out. And you know, the Department of Agriculture had to admit that their conduct in this was reprehensible. I mean, just blatant discrimination.
A government administration admitting they were wrong?
Yeah.
Great.
They had to. They had to settle this. I mean, they really had no choice. And the thing is, this discrimination had survived, I don't know how many different presidents. This had been for years this had been going.
And now it's settled out.
Well, it's settled out, but now they're saying that the department really isn't making good on the settlement.
Oh,
we have to follow this.
That might, yeah, we should follow, because that might have something to do with where this president spends his money.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his relationship with the black community.
Absolutely.
There's the liberal agenda. Here we go. Get your notebooks and your pens and your marching orders for today straight from the Streisand compound. If you're on the phone, you can hang up. One, for anniversary of moon landing, lobby historians to change the quote to one small step for person, one giant leap for person kind. Two, set up Canadian information booth at Democratic convention for potential draft dodgers. Three, fly in consultants from Hong Kong to feng shui the Democratic hospitality tent. Four, lobby to change name of local battle of the bands to conflict resolution of the bands. And five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. You know, they call them the Red Sox because most of them were card-carrying Bolsheviks. A lot of people don't know that. Unquote. I had a great time.
Me too.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow, right, Mark?
We'll be back here with the same energy at the same time.
I hope you're right, man.
Coming up on tomorrow's morning's edition, comedian Jim David returns to the show with his somewhat unorthodox Southern perspective on politics and the nation. That's tomorrow's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good day.
Bye.